Hey, this is Chris from We Are Libertarians, joined by my trusty co-host, Greg Lenz. Greg,
how are you, Chris?
Hi there. Hey, a lot of you sent in hate mail saying, hey, you re-uploaded the wrong file. No, you listeners. We have a sponsor here on We Are Libertarians. It is the Jason Stapleton Program at jasonstapleton.com, jasonstapleton.com, jasonstapleton.com. And so that is a – we'll put the interview that we have with Jason. It's a four-minute clip at the end so you can hear him talk about his show, which a listener actually wrote in, a new listener, Chris, wrote in and said, hey, I had never heard of the Jason Stapleton Program, and I listened to him on your show, and then I listened to his podcast, and he's as good as Dan Carlin.
Wonderful.
Which is of hardcore history.
Yeah, that's a great endorsement there.
Yeah, check out jasonstapleton.com, and you can hear a little bit more about his show and why he loves We Are Libertarians, which is what we really want you to hear, at the end of this episode. So, and if you did not listen to the previous episode of We Are Libertarians, go and re-download it. Come on. And thank you to Jason Stapleton for being a sponsor of We Are Libertarians. Again, jasonstapleton.com. And now, welcome to this episode of We Are Libertarians. Hi, I am your host, Chris Spangle. Thank you to all of you who have chosen to join us, including the handsome and beautiful Greg Lenz.
Chris, how are you, buddy?
It's nice of you to actually join us this week.
I know, it has been a hectic October, but I am looking forward to getting back and getting into the issues, talking about the Donald.
you've had quite a lot of traffic issues lately.
Yeah, well, never buy custom rims and split the tool that's required for locking lug nuts. That makes it very difficult.
True.
I forget what other emergency you had.
I was doing a wedding.
Oh, that's
right. And so I can't talk about that on air.
Now, we've also, we want to welcome, we have two visitors watching the program tonight.
Two of Bucktown's finest.
Two of Bucktown's. Well, one is going to join us. His name is Tyler Weiserweiss.
Whatever you want to say. It's all good.
He brought you offerings.
I bring you offerings. This is like.
But see, here's the problem. Every single time I see him, is it Weiss or Weiss? It's whatever you want, man.
Hey,
so I never get clarity.
It's all good.
And then Aaron Ewert, which I am firm in that pronunciation. Aaron Ewert. He is currently periscoping this. He periscoped his haircut.
Yes, I did.
He periscopes traffic. He periscopes sex with his wife.
No, that isn't. Yeah. Awesome, but, you want to see Bob's? Follow Aaron Ewert.
No, that ain't happening, bro.
So,
and just in case you think you see Maui Fallon for people in the libertarian movement, and you're getting ready to like her photograph, just be careful. That's not one of Aaron's new profile pictures. In the tub, black and white, giving you the duck face.
Oh, yeah. Totally asking for it.
He does.
All right. And then the other visitor here in studio is our good friend, Samantha Nix. How are you doing, Samantha?
I'm good.
Yeah, she didn't plan to be on the podcast at all. And then, hey, joining us on Skype, longtime listener, longtime host of the Shill Report, and a good friend of ours, Mr. Ryan Ripley. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm great, guys. It's awesome to be talking to you again. It's been way too long. Looking forward to seeing what crazy memes Greg comes up with after this and how many times I can insult you, Chris.
All right, good. Well,
see, I have to be careful, though, because Ryan, you know, is a functioning member of society and there are repercussions for anything too dangerous.
Yeah, I appreciate your discretion.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everybody in this room, well, Sam has like a normal human job.
She works from home in her pajamas.
Right, but it's like a respectable job. Greg, we have no idea what Greg does for a living.
I troll Spangle. He has me on payroll. He sends me a monthly stipend and says, go at it, make me famous.
you don't know what I do after all these years? There's this bank and I go to this place and there's these things and I'm like dazzled by his mystery and I have no idea what he talks about.
And he has a BlackBerry. That's even more
not
mysterious.
Not anymore.
No.
Oh, you've...
Now I have a...
Person with a BlackBerry now?
Yeah.
Mine broke.
Maybe the last person on
Earth. I'm waiting. No, but the new one's coming out, and it is legit awesome. I mean, awesome.
They're not redoing the touchscreen like they did with that one.
Oh, it's so awesome.
Yeah, so it's like so a throwback to the classic.
Oh, with the ball?
Those are legit.
Well, no, but like here, this one's even
you'll
more
have to talk
like
to,
round.
You two will have to share a mic if she's going to talk. He spends all his day in crawl spaces. He's a serial killer. And then I work for the Bob and Tom show, so I literally just spend all day trying to make fart jokes funny for the internet. And then there is Tyler. Tyler, we have no idea what Tyler does.
He works for an industrial supply company.
I just make dank memes.
He just makes the dank memes. Now, Ryan Ripley has a real job where he makes money, and he has children and responsibilities. Aaron has children, but he has no responsibilities, as he shows on the internet at Periscope all the time.
Has he decided to actually call them son?
Yep. I don't know. Have the kids met
what
you yet?
What are their names? Do you even know?
See, his Aaron's kids, they just meet this man 3 times a month, and they're like, who's this guy that smells like booze, mommy? And that's Aaron.
That is absolutely libelous and false.
Slanderous, because I'm going to make a transcript too. So, Ryan, it is apt that you are joining us today because you are the former host of the Shill Report, which if you go back in our feed, I am just kidding. I know Becky's going to listen to this, and I will be forever banned from the good graces of Becky's. I love Becky.
No worries. She will never listen to you.
Very good.
Never.
And the Shill Report, if you go back in our feed, was a 14-episode experiment in which Ryan Ripley hosted Joe Ruiz and I as we mined theory of journalism from a libertarian's perspective, interviewed a few journalists, talked about all things journalistic, and the episodes I've gone back and listened to, Ryan, they hold up pretty well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and some of the highlights of my podcasting, my short-lived career as a commentator on journalism, we talked to some great people, got Ron Paul on there, Jeffrey Tucker turned me into an anarchist, that was fun.
Right.
But I loved our game. We were basically Jay Carney. We trolled him so hard, and it was just such a great experience. So glad to be back. Glad to talk to you, and looking forward to trolling some more people too.
Ryan, have you had any conversations with Joe since he was deported?
No, I have not talked to Joe since he was sent to a different parallel.
Okay, so you're familiar with parallel Mexicans then?
Oh, I listen.
All right, good. Well, thank you for joining us here on the podcast, Ryan. It's been great to catch up with you. We'll talk to you later.
Sam, parallel, when we're referring to Hispanics, James Neese, who you probably haven't met and probably shouldn't.
He will try to cuck you.
He refers to anyone that's Hispanic but not Mexican as a parallel Mexican. So it doesn't matter, Cuban, parallel, whatever.
It's more respectful than calling a non-Mexican a Mexican and them
very
not being
true.
Mexican.
So you're parallel Mexican.
Yeah. Before
not Hispanic American.
Right. Well, no, parallel Mexicans.
Let's not just throw that out there like everyone's
earned it.
Because
if they're technically not Americans, then it's not. Then it's even muddier water.
All right. I want to take this opportunity. Let's stop here and let's thank not only our sponsor for this episode, the Jason Stapleton Program at jasonstapleton.com, but also the people who have gone through our PayPal at wearelibertarians.com and have donated to the program to help us. Listen. It costs money to do this. We have 4,000 listeners an episode. That is bandwidth. That there's equipment. We have to buy all the beer. We have to buy all the pizza. There's blow pops. Do you know what the blow pops set me back for this episode? You have no idea. Greg has a writer that
I didn't even know that. I didn't even see that.
Greg has a writer. There must be pizza, blow pops, chocolate chip cookies, and the two-hearted ale for every episode, or he will not show up.
Two-hearted ale is actually the only mandatory writer, and I bring it.
I know. That's why he's
and not
been
cheap
here.
Either.
So if you go and my PayPal address is chrisspangle@gmail.com. It sounds like we're begging, and we kind of are, but listen, you enjoy the program. And we'd love for you to help offset the cost if you are so generous, as the following people have been. Christopher Lane, Dennis Byington, I'm so sorry if I got that wrong, but that's a hallmark of what we do here. Kirk French, our good buddy Kirk donates regularly. He donates on a monthly basis, and we really appreciate that. So
he is a gentleman and a scholar.
He is a great human being, like Christy Avery.
Yes.
Like Phyllis Klosinski.
Live from the Klosinski studios behind the golden Klosinski microphone.
We want to thank Sean Perk. We want to thank Sam Naimi. And I apologize if I got your name wrong. So thank you to those of you who have donated. If you donate, we will give you some recognition here on the podcast. And every listener gets a free tote bag.
Really, it's a psychological experiment and competition. You know, we're hoping this spurs people to want to be favorite listener and biggest donor.
That's exactly right. It's a competition. I am the Adam Smith of PayPal. all right. So we have a lot that has happened since our last episode. We did not meet last week. I uploaded a speech that I gave to a group of atheists where I talk about morality and libertarianism. How did I get wrangled into speaking to a group of atheists? They asked. So I went and talked to them and had a good time, thanks to Tom Mulcahy of the Sunday Assembly here in Indianapolis for letting me speak. I spoke for 20 minutes. My time was 20 minutes. I met that mark exactly. And then they asked 40 minutes of questions and then cut me off.
That's actually outstanding.
Right. So yeah.
And Tom comes to our America's Future Foundation events.
That's right. Yeah. Great guy. Long-time libertarian.
Chris, I got to say, you did an excellent job on that. I got a chance to listen to it last week and just really impressed with the message you gave them, how well they received it. The questions were, very insightful and reasonable, and just wanted to tell you, right up front, just really great job on that and really impressed with what you did.
Oh, shucks. Stop, Ryan. Stop. Go ahead. Continue. Thank you. Yeah, I got a lot of good feedback on that. For something that I did not prepare for, I just stood up and started talking, which is sort of what I do here. Now, you could go to, if you Google search Sunday Assembly, you'll be able to find Sunday Assembly. There's a branch in your area. I'm sure it's an atheist. It's basically people like communities.
I like that you're leading with that.
It's
non-denominational.
Secular.
It's non-theist.
It's non-secular.
It's here. Are you one of these people? Are you?
I'm not one. I'm interested in it. It's getting the community of having a church, but instead of actually going and there being like the main message as like
Jesus.
Or as like some
Allah.
Guilt.
Yeah, less guilt, less holy being, and more
less wine.
Ah, oh, damn. but no, it's about getting the community together and having the one-on-one aspects of church and that feeling of it, but not having the sermon and the preachiness of
it's about
it.
The personal relationships.
Yeah, and it was about building community, which is fundamentally what religion is about, and it was very uplifting and encouraging. So unlike most of our Sunday services at my church,
well, as a minister,
as an ordained minister, Greg Lins. So Greg, if a listener wanted to have you marry them,
they just have to contact me, and I'd need to know the state.
All right.
Right now I can do Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, and then any state that doesn't require you to actually get like
Did you know in California that if you
into the mic
in California if you become an ordained minister they give you like a black card?
I have.
You have a black card?
Oh yeah. It's my second form of ID at bars.
Oh, nice.
Now, Greg, your thoughts on marrying blacks and whites. Are you okay with that?
I take offense to that.
Gays? Are you going to marry gays?
What are you implying by asking me these questions? I do still beat my wife, except no, I don't. I stopped it a few years ago. That's what you're implying.
I'm just saying
that.
You went to SMU. I've heard stories.
Well, Methodists?
They are cheaters.
Yeah, I'm Methodist.
They cheat. They're not racist.
No.
Actually, they do, because they just cheated again.
I know.
Now they're in real trouble.
No, the beauty of having libertarian Greg Lins is that Greg will marry all. Do you have like a little, do you run people through a little course or? Like I
meet with them a lot, like to get to know them, because I don't want to do just like whenever I do a ceremony, I don't just want to stand up there and do a traditional one that any minister would give or any judge. So I want to talk. Instead of talking about marriage and how like the institution of marriage, I talk about the people and why they're a good fit.
Right.
So I do spend a lot of time with the couple.
Gotcha.
Do you ever bring up divorce?
No.
Why not?
That's a rational thing to do. I don't like to be a buzzkill because I try to be the opposite of a regular libertarian. So.
Listen, if they're living on cloud nine, I mean, they're going to get shot down eventually.
Right.
And save them some money, but then you're not making
it. And I do take it serious enough. I will say if I think they have issues they should work on, even though I'm in no way, shape, or form a psychologist or a counselor. I do think, though.
Because when I think of successful relationships, I think of Greg Lins.
That's right. I think I have successful friendships with everyone here.
I know. Ironically, Greg is my relationship counselor. When I have questions, I go to Greg, and that's why it's not been working out lately for me. I'm just kidding.
I told you to diversify risk, and you've followed that game plan.
I have.
You've taken the portfolio strategy.
It's worked out pretty well.
Yep.
So, Tyler.
Me, yeah.
You make memes for a living.
No, I
don't. No. You have a hat from where he works.
Oh, I do?
You do.
Oh, I see how the swag gets right? treated around here. Last time I ever bring you gifts or gifts.
It was a trucker's hat, so yeah. I took it to Goodwill, where it belongs.
Did you really?
It was a Make America say, Great wow. Again hat.
Yeah.
It was.
You mean a Megyn Kelly made this made red hat. Red.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My favorite hat ever.
So, Ryan Ripley, how are things? What have you been up to since you last appeared on the We Are Libertarians Network, radio network?
Wow, it's been a while. I've been, like you said, being a productive member of society, paying taxes and doing all that, successfully stayed married, have...
good sexual relations?
Raising a couple kids.
He dodged that one.
As well he should have. Dodge?
He's trying to raise
it. Small government spangle tried to force his way into the bedroom just a second ago.
No, so I've just been incredibly busy with career, family, life, and trying to stay out of trouble. And so far, prior to coming onto this show, I've done that.
It seems like you've gotten very into like the lean startup movement up in Fort Wayne. Has that been taking off? Have you guys been able to build a community?
Well, we're working, it's really online stuff. So since the last time we talked on the Wall Radio Network, I did start a podcast. I took all of the great lessons I learned from Chris and applied it to an Agile podcast where I now host and do a weekly thing there. And that's grown into quite a bit of following. And then working on getting, you know, some of the Agile and Lean activities, the groups like you were talking about, Greg, started up here in Fort Wayne.
That is no small feat, my friend.
But then I've also have turned into an international speaker, so where I've been traveling to conferences all over North America and presenting on various topics on software development, agile, lean. And so I've just been incredibly busy. But I reached out because I missed you guys. I wanted to talk some politics and just see how ridiculous it could get. So
it never leaves your blood.
Yeah, podcasting more than politics, because if you've listened to this podcast for the last 6 months, roughly half the episodes, I've not given a crap about politics. But yet, here we are, and people still want more. I don't get it, but I think that's kind of what the appeal is. We don't talk about politics.
Can we just change the name of this podcast to Dear Leader Chris Spangle?
Whatever. I've actually...
Motion seconded.
I've actually thought about starting a secondary podcast, one that is not politically related. There's so many weird people in my life now, like that are more articulate than James Neese, but just as weird.
Call it the shit show with Chris Spangle.
Yeah, like there's actually a podcast out there that called that already, but no, we call it the Chris Spangle Show. There is
a regular guest on that.
You sure can. There's
story time with Samantha.
The feed's already out there. If you go check out the Chris Spangle Show in your podcast feed, maybe an episode will pop up near you. So we'll see. Depends on if you all want that. If there's demand, then cool. Oh my gosh. So I did hit start. I did hit record. We're 20 minutes in. That's when I check to make sure that I have hit record. We are successful.
There is an SD card in the slot.
There is.
There's more than an SD.
As long as you're hitting the slot.
All right, now that we're starting politics, can somebody hand me a cookie? All right, thank you. Should we talk Democrats or Republicans first, Greg?
I think we definitely lead, since it's the most... most fresh in the mind, and actually the most interesting, because the Democrat debate isn't that interesting. Sure. It's the Hillary and Bernie show.
Right.
Once Larry David did it, there's nothing left to do.
It's over. But we haven't talked about Biden.
He killed it.
Yeah.
He killed that.
So yes, let's...
The nightmare that was the CNBC GOP debate.
Wow. Yeah, let's start off with Ryan.
As the Democrat of the We Are Libertarians, the Democrat correspondent of We Are Libertarians.
Yes, yep. former Democrat, former Bernie supporter.
Running a congressman even. I mean, congressional candidate.
He ran for Congress as a Democrat. He loves Hillary Clinton, although he is you didn't know that? No, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to ruin his reputation.
He's a Bernitarian. Leave him alone.
Feel the burn.
Feel the burn.
Now, Ryan Ripley. Last night, what were the candidates that were on stage? We've got Trump.
Jeb Bush, Fiorina, Marco Rubio, Chris Christie.
Carson.
Rand Paul, Kasich, and Huckabee.
All right. And CNBC hosted it because MSNBC was a no-go. And I don't even know that MSNBC is going to get a debate.
They own CNBC.
Yeah, but it's all NBC News, NBC Universal.
And not that that would have increased viewership whatsoever.
No. And you would think that CNBC being the Wall Street channel, being it was touted as an economics debate, that this was going to be one to tune in for, you know, for them to hear about the kitchen table issues.
Guys like me to nerd out on fiscal and monetary policy and taxation.
Right. And instead, as, you know, Ted Cruz summarized, as Chris Christie summarized, we got fantasy football. We've got
the regulation of fantasy football.
The regulation.
FanDuel, who these two are definitely users.
Yep. Well, you got...
are you a comic book hero?
Are you a comic book villain? Are you... what else did he say?
He asked him if he was a comic book villain. He asked Jeb Bush if he should just drop out.
He asked...
he asked Kasich who he was going to argue with.
Right. Kasich to make fun of these two people over there.
Uh-huh.
So it was... The story became the media. Now, Ryan Ripley, did you watch the debate?
Oh, yeah. I was glued to it.
All right, let's start with general impressions from... Let's go around the table and talk about general impressions. Is there anything you'd like to say for yourself, Aaron? Could you keep it down, please? We have a professional show here, and you are ruining it.
You know, we conditioned it on him not talking. That's been violated. Now he interrupts the show with this whole Periscope thing.
So we'll go around the room. We'll go to Greg next. But first, Ryan Ripley, with your general impressions on the GOP debate.
Yeah, the general impression is that I can't believe that CNBC managed to make the Fox News debate look reasonable. That was my first impression. It was just a complete clown show from the start. The moderators were just vicious and really just the worst possible questions when it was supposed to be an economic debate. I was actually surprised. I think CNBC actually did the Republican Party a favor, because they all kind of came together with a common target being the media. So instead of all these nasty swipes at each other, which there were still a few, they kind of coalesced around the idea that, no, the media is the problem, and they're the worst super PAC, and they're just all these charged questions. They may have actually helped the GOP turn the corner on some of these issues that they're having internally and started giving a view of some kind of unity.
Absolutely.
I think, and that's backed up by Bill Maher talking about how much he agreed with Senator Ted Cruz and how angry that made him, and same with Patton Oswalt.
It's the first time I walked away from watching Ted Cruz speak and thought, yeah, I agree, this is great.
Yeah, the debate made all of them look halfway sane, what they were saying. I was on Reddit earlier reading comments on the... on the articles on politics, which Reddit is super left.
I mean, yeah, even conservative
it's super liberal. They're all for Bernie.
Yeah.
But then almost all the top comments were, I'm liberal as hell, but God damn, what the hell did CNBC, what are they thinking? That was a terrible debate. They're not even moderating.
And I felt like this is something that's been coming for a long time, because when you put on people who aren't real well-known, like Mike Harwood, and you allow them to get their shot, to have the spotlight against a bunch of Republicans that they consider ignorant, know-nothing, backwoods, you know, cling to your guns and Bible, and they get to, you know, essentially put them on trial, they can't wait to show off, and you could just guarantee they were going to be so arrogant they were going to make it about them.
They knew they had the power for the 3 hours or whatever the hell it was, and they were just going to use it up.
And yet they decide instead to ask the worst questions they could ask.
They weren't even questions.
They didn't ask about climate change. They didn't ask about, you know, bigger questions like, do we as a society have a responsibility to take care of the, you know, the disenfranchised? You know, they didn't ask anything policy-wise of relative substance.
They would have done better just live streaming Twitter questions, honestly. And it would have been a better debate.
Bad Twitter questions.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was so poorly done that it made... A guy like Ted Cruz, who has been he has a strong base of support. He picks off a lot of the people that don't believe Trump can do it. And yet, it made him have the moment he's been waiting for and stand out so bright and show off his intelligence, which he's extremely intelligent. And it made, I don't agree with Ted Cruz on anything socially, but I was jumping up and down to see a Republican look absolutely over-the-top intelligent. I told Joe Ruiz today in chat that I thought it was like a West Wing monologue coming from a conservative pounding away at these liberals who are convinced they're so smart. And I've been waiting for that for so long, I can hardly It's just that is the moment I've been waiting on because conservatism hasn't been done well in so long.
Ted Cruz finally did what I have been waiting for him to do, which is to show off Ted Cruz, the Princeton debater, the
national debate champion, the
national debate champion. As Glenn Beck pointed out, he's an audio
memory.
Yeah, well, it's the where you read it and you photographic memory. He's has an audiographic memory where he can listen.
Yeah, there's eidetic memory and then there's right. photographic. Yeah,
and so Beck actually put together a sound by sound clip of the question and what Ted Cruz said, and he said the exact question in the exact order, and repeated back in classic debate form. He repeated back to the crowd an indictment of what had been going on that night with evidence and said, this is ridiculous, and here's why people are so sick and tired of this.
His training as a prosecuting attorney finally showed up because he's been yes. playing folksy because he's not likable.
Right.
And that's the thing is Ted doesn't have folksy charm. He isn't a guy you'd ever want to have a beer with. George W. Bush appointed him attorney general and said he's basically not one of my guys recently in a fundraiser.
Right.
And yet, all of a sudden, Ted Cruz, the excellent, high-achieving, highly intelligent individual that beat the hell out of a bunch of Ivy League liberals in debating, showed up, and it was impressive.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I've been waiting. And the problem for Rand Paul is Ted Cruz. And
the problem for Rand Paul is
Rand is a problem for himself. Yeah. It's not...
It's over.
Yeah, so Ted Cruz finally established himself as probably not a top-tier candidate yet, but he certainly could get there. And he is, I have said from the very beginning, going back to the beginning of this podcast 3.5 years ago, the problem with Rand Paul is that Rand Paul doesn't inspire anyone.
He doesn't think he should have to campaign to be president.
Yeah.
Well, he thinks they should just say, he's got the best ideas, let's nominate him.
If you listen to him speak, he actually answers the damn questions like they wanted. And he's just sitting up there like, don't you people understand like how the world actually works? And he's just frustrated, and you can see it in his face.
It's the libertarian flaw of thinking that only substance matters.
Exactly.
I know, but you have to be personable, and you have to get out there and want to win.
Donald Trump's leading the polls doing the exact opposite.
Exactly. Yeah.
No substance, just
spewing bullshit.
Pure personality and amazing.
It's hilarious.
Right, so let's let Ryan Ripley jump in here. Ryan Ripley joining us from Fort Wayne. Your thoughts on Ted Cruz, Ryan?
I thought he was brilliant last night. He had his moment. So now some of the front runners, they had their moments. Ted Cruz definitely had his moment where he showed, just as Greg was saying, that national debate champion charm. And he actually, like I said, for a moment there, I thought, wow, I kind of like him. And then I snapped out of it instantly and he got back to reality. I thought the other interesting moment, the person who had the best moment, or one of the best moments of the night too, was Marco Rubio. Oh. I think he destroyed Jeb Bush's campaign in one swipe. Jeb is done.
And
he's out.
In one moment, Marco Rubio eviscerated CNBC, the Florida Sun Sentinel, Jeb Bush,
and then
anybody who doubted that he was anything but a front runner.
Yeah, they went
was
back.
Masterful.
They went back. Yeah, and
there's
then...
just bodies all behind him. I mean, Marco Rubio destroyed a small village worth of people on that one statement, and I think he's got to be a top three now.
So let me give some context to our listeners. I listened to it earlier. So Marco Rubio, an article came out, an editorial came out in the Florida Sun Sentinel, which I believe is based in
Tallahassee.
So it's the state newspaper, and it's all throughout the state.
Free
of Florida.
Shoes University is based there, right, according to Steve Spurrier.
And the Florida Sun Sentinel said basically that Marco Rubio is missing work too often, that he is, of all the presidential candidates that are senators, he's missing the most percentage of votes, and that he should resign his position and he should allow someone else to serve in that position if he's going to continue to run for president, and that this is just a continuation of his track record of starting in his early 20s of basically being too ambitious. So he is seen as somebody who is young and too ambitious, and you know, why not, as the CNBC questioner said, why not? It's National Cat Day, and Sam is back there torturing my pussy. So she is
your back pussy.
She is my back pussy. No, she's Sam is over there poking Mittens, and Mittens is having none of it. So I don't think you can hear.
I'm wearing a corduroy jacket, and apparently that is really, really
annoying to the cat?
Yeah, he just wants to like, or she?
She.
She. She's like, meow.
So
she doesn't like hipsters. That's clearly what it
is. So Marco Rubio, in the eyes of CNBC and the Florida Sun, Sentinel needs to resign and is a little too ambitious. And so he went on to basically say that he's doing nothing that any other presidential candidate that is a senator that is running for president isn't doing, including those on the stage.
Including the one that is president and what he did when he ran for president.
And he missed 70% of his votes. And they endorsed him, the John, you know, and then he didn't mention John McCain, but he mentioned, you know, Hillary Clinton, and he mentioned other senators, all endorsed by the Florida Sun Sentinel. Jeb Bush chimes in and says, "I'm a constituent of Marco Rubio. I helped you get where you're at, and I believe that the Sun Sentinel is right, and frankly, you should resign." Marco Rubio takes a breath, looks at him, and says, "With all due respect, Jeb, while I respect you, and I think a lot of you, you are modeling yourself after John McCain, and John McCain did the exact same thing, missed this percentage of votes, and the Florida Sun Sentinel endorsed him for president and in the primary, so I don't understand what you're talking about. Go back there, sit down, and shut your mouth."
The student became the master in that moment.
And Jeb was so full of himself and had a really good moment and really kind of put himself out above the crowd. And then as Marco kept talking, he started shrinking, if you watch the video clip.
And he should have never picked that fight because he deflected to that so he could specifically take on Marco.
Oh, right.
Well, and that was a strategic mistake. If you're going to pick that fight, guys, you have to take it further than Marco is willing to. Mm-hmm. You have to stay on it and drive it all the way through. It's what Trump says about Jeb. It plays through every time. Low energy, no energy. You can't just take a little swipe and then run to your corner. And at the same time, where is Rand Paul during that moment? Why isn't he jumping in and saying, "Guys, I've missed 1%.
He's over there sitting there with a smirk saying, "You're all ignorant buffoons.
Can we talk about the Fed?
Yeah. Oh.
He stands there as if, and you know what? He is above all of the circus and all this nonsense.
He is, but that's
truly
where it's won.
He is. But he has to just put that aside and jump in and get a little messy with everybody else.
Yeah, the thing is, this is what bugs me. Rand has never been his dad, the purest martyr that sticks to the libertarian message and just goes with it and says, "Take it or leave it, here's who I am." He's going to play the game. I'm a constitutional conservative. He distances himself from libertarianism. Then he won't even get in the mud and play politics. So basically, he just wants to be anointed Mr. Conservative, but you either give it to me or I'm going home because I'm not going to get dirty.
He's super confused.
Yeah, he's
politically.
But the problem, as I've said about Rand Paul the entire time, Rand Paul inspires no one. There's nothing about him that moves you in any speech.
The filibusters.
Yes, but it was the act in and of itself. It was not the words that he said. And frankly, Ted Cruz has the ability to inspire people and to bring people to his side, and he is making the case and getting Glenn Beck on his side. I mean, Glenn Beck flat out asked Rand Paul the last time he was on a show, "Why are you running if Ted Cruz is running?" You know, and so I think you're going to start seeing the movement pick up now. Ted Cruz is in the race. He's an effective candidate. Why are you still in the race, Rand?
I mean, and that's a totally different voting block because Ted Cruz wants to burn gays and doesn't bother Rand. Rand Paul is fine with gays.
Yeah, he brought in Bob Barr as his as the person who is going to do outreach to libertarians. There's no one that libertarians...
Author of DOMA, Bob really? Barr. Author of the Defense of Marriage Act.
Oh, yeah. Really?
The guy that pissed off every libertarian candidate afterwards. That he's just... Bob Barr is... Ryan Ripley, your thoughts on Bob Barr?
Awful.
Right. And
one word.
And Ryan is
as a former Democrat, awful.
Right.
Just kidding, Ripley.
No, but Ripley is a guy who is very polite and very kind and doesn't, you know, he speaks his mind but in a very polite way. So when he says awful, Bob Barr's awful. So
well, I mean, he's so disingenuous and it's really bothering that he was even able to run as the libertarian candidate for president. He's awful. He flip-flop and then just so hateful. It's really just there's nothing good to say about him.
His mustache
is
he has one.
All right, there we
go. It's not even really a Charlie Chaplin in the Great
Dictator.
It's very
wispy
mustache.
And odd.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm calling it now. I think by the end of the month, by the end of November, by December 1st, Rand Paul will no longer be in the race. And
oh, see, I think he goes to the very end.
He makes it. He, I actually, guys, I'm weird like this. I think his organization. I think he'll be a top five finisher in the first primary.
A war of attrition. I agree. And then his Iowa strategy is brilliant with the college kids.
I think he's going to kill there, but then can he sustain it long term? And I think
because of the South.
No, does he have, but here's my question for you. Here's why I think what I think. Does he have the cash to make it to the primaries?
Yeah, his super PACs are loaded.
All right.
Rand's not run for
his actual campaign only has $2.5 million on books, but his super PACs have over $40 million.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely banking on the family name with the college crowd. Does he...
Like Jeb Bush.
Not with the college crowd.
Yeah.
Now, so his super PACs are loaded, so he can make it to the primaries.
Yeah, they're loaded because it's Jeff Frazee who's leading this.
Matt Kibb is running one of them, right?
Yeah, it's him and Frazee are running the two that both have combined 40... I mean, altogether 40 million.
Gotcha. All right, so I withdraw my December 1st prediction.
But they could always back Ted if Ted gets heat.
Right. I'm just saying.
It's all about stage presence in these debates.
You have to look like you want to be president.
I think the race
is... You have to just say shit that people want to hear, too.
Yeah.
nobody wants to hear the truth. That's obvious.
I think we're...
I hope it's Christie that drops next.
Christie had a hell of a debate, though. He tore it up.
I thought Trump did great because he showed he doesn't have to be bombastic and over the top to still be a front runner.
Exactly.
But after Cruz and Rubio, I would put Christie.
Yeah,
it was throwback Christie where he turned it and threw it in your face, and he was confrontational and not trying to be a mealy mouth. Like, oh, everybody like me. Like, that's not Chris Christie. He's Tony Soprano.
Yeah, you almost forgot that Chris Christie is Chris Christie.
Yeah, I was listening to him. I was like, are you like, where is this coming from? Like, why haven't you been saying this stuff?
Go
forever? Because you don't believe it.
Yeah,
or, like,
go shoot Ralphie. Yeah. That's what I want to see. I want you to shoot Ralphie.
Go dig the ditch.
Yeah.
Come on.
So Jeb Bush, the people are fleeing his campaign. They're in damage control mode. They put out a 28-page document today, a PowerPoint presentation, because nothing says awesome like PowerPoints.
Did he get it from Mitt Romney?
And he put it out to the media basically saying the campaign is not in as much trouble as we think. So that means they're in real trouble. So I believe that Jeb Bush is probably on the ropes. I mean, it's pretty clear that Jeb Bush, there's just nobody is interested in this guy whatsoever, right?
No. Jeb has $116 million that he's raised so far, and he can't spend it.
Yeah.
His campaign has no money. His super PACs
tons of money.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's like $200 million or something.
Yeah, but so they did the live like post-analysis debate. Jeb's third biggest donor to his super PACs talked about how Jeb's campaign was, you know, a failure and is dying. And when you're third biggest bundler saying that on an interview on CNBC, you're done.
Where's all that money going?
He gets to choose.
Yeah. After he's done?
So the super PAC chooses where it goes.
Well, I understand that.
Which
but
means,
I'm saying, where do you think it's going to go?
Oh, where do I think it's going to go?
I think that money lands
Cruz?
With Rubio.
Yeah.
Rubio?
Yeah, I think Rubio's trying hard not to piss him off because he sees the future. But
he did it. He did the rebuttal respectfully.
True.
I think that's why he chose his words carefully.
Well, the whole thing about Jeb was the first question they asked. He's like, I'm super impatient. Yeah. What's your biggest weakness? Which was a complete bullshit question. Like, to come out of the game.
I'm
with.
Super impatient.
Honestly,
can we talk about that?
To the mic.
Yeah. Giving him translations if he's super impatient.
I don't know. I was watching the debate. I was like, is this seriously what the first question is going to be? And then I'm like, why do we need three moderators? What is going on here?
Well, you have to have the minority,
well,
the woman, and the white guy.
You had to have the lady ask Carly, so we as women, we get paid 70% of every dollar to a man.
77.
Whatever the hell it is. Right. Whatever the bullshit number is.
Greg's got that number pegged and trying to lower it every day.
It's not the only thing he's got pegged.
Been hammering away at that. I don't want it to be called the glass ceiling anymore. I want it to be the steel ceiling. And not the kind that's melted by jet fuel.
Well, you better build that building with dank memes.
That's right, bro.
Ryan Ripley, your thoughts. This is my McLaughlin. Ryan Ripley, Jeb Bush, go.
Finished.
I like how succinct you've become.
What can you say?
I mean, he'll never be able to shake his brother's presidency off, even if he's not a good general election candidate, and everyone now sees it. You know, Jeb can't handle Trump. What's he going to do when Clinton comes at him?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't handle, I mean, let's face it. Trump is a performer, an entertainer. There's no substance.
Although his tax plan, it did get endorsed by the CNBC, former CNBC anchor Larry Kudlow, and that's what he brought up.
I think he's hired very smart people to do the writing for him. But when you look at Trump in and of itself, he can't handle Trump on a stage. Clinton's going to kill him.
Isn't that Trump's strength, though, is that he can find people to run the government for him, and he's just the figurehead?
Henry Ford model.
Because that's ultimately the president now is just who do you want to be the president? It doesn't matter what your politics are, obviously, because they don't follow what they promise. Honestly, you look at the last two presidents.
It's funny, and I just saw the Steve Jobs movie the other night, and it occurred to me while I was watching this what it meant to be president. Steve Jobs is in the pit of an orchestra before he's about to launch Next, his company that got bought by Apple when he got brought back. And he's talking to Wozniak, and Wozniak and him are having an altercation. And basically Woz is saying, I'm the one that built the hardware. I'm the one that can code. I'm the one that did all this. I'm the top, you know, I am the reason that this took off. And then Steve Jobs, Michael Fassbender, goes into a spiel about how he doesn't play an instrument. He plays the orchestra, like a conductor. And that's what the presidency is. You need the best people, put them in the right role, something they nerd out about or they're intensely passionate about. Yeah.
And if you think the president actually controls everything that goes on in the United States, then you're highly mistaken.
He has to be great at controlling the message and great at recruiting people who can do the job well.
Yeah. So, Greg, who on that stage could reach out to both Democrats and Republicans and actually get meaningful legislation passed or revoked, depending on the goal?
Trump.
Yep.
That's the only one, in my opinion. Ted Cruz will never have a shot because he will reward social conservatives for helping him win the nomination. Marco Rubio will be so overwhelmed, he will have a scandal-ridden presidency and be done. He wouldn't get reelected.
Yeah.
And Donald knows enough about letting great people just run with things and then holding them accountable. He actually, in a weird way, would be able to hopefully, one, recruit outside talent that hasn't been in D.C. before, but keep the operators who are necessary in order to make the phone call you need to reach out to the right individual to get something done.
But what are the numbers of Trump versus Clinton in a general election?
I think it's 45-44 as of today. So, I mean, ultimately that doesn't matter, though. The electoral math matters. And Trump beats her in Florida, and Trump beats her in Ohio.
It's a scary proposition when Trump's your best option.
Is it, though? Because I think everyone's underestimated him.
Who else on that stage, though, can beat Hillary?
Kasich. But he's got to have Jeb or Rubio as a VP or the flip.
I don't think Kasich carries Ohio against Clinton, though.
Oh, he does. It's bad. His approval rating is 60 as of today.
Is it?
He's literally the most popular politician in the history of Ohio.
I think Kasich when sticks it out, and he ends up being a VP.
You can't not if you don't win Ohio, the election's over. That's the electoral. No Republicans ever won without the GOP winning Ohio.
All right.
So I mean, ultimately this election comes down to Iowa, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, and Ohio, and that's it. And if whoever wins in those states, right now, as of today, it's 246. The Democrats have 246 electoral votes. They only need, 24 more to win. So that's pretty scary if you think about it, because if they just win North Carolina, where it's trending more blue, Virginia is blue, in my opinion now, because if Mitt Romney's the kind of Republican that isn't going to win Virginia,
yep.
And that's game, if that's the case.
But that's not – I mean, I could see a case where you see a Cuccinelli, he doesn't win, but he energizes the base. You could see somebody who appeals to the social conservative crowd, unlike Mitt Romney, unlike John McCain, and energizes a base. So sometimes when we look at polls and we look backwards like that, we say, hey, in a liberal state like Virginia, a Mitt Romney is not doing it, then what hope do we have? But what we sometimes fail to see is that you have to have excitability about a candidate. So a Ted Cruz is not going to turn it red because Ted Cruz leaves the McCain-Romney voters at home. But somebody like a Marco Rubio. So
Rubio, Hispanic voters are it. That's the ball game. Because right now, last election when Mitt Romney ran, 76% of white voters voted for him. And they only made up 66% of the election. And so now, though, we're down to the point where the white electorate, whoever the Republican nominee is, has to get nearly 80% of white people to vote for him.
I have a question. When you make that comment, is when you say white voters, do you include Hispanic into that? Okay.
No.
Because they're considered white. Yeah, he's totally racist.
See, no, it's racist that they're considered white. I consider them distinct, wonderful people.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm a native, bro. Cherokee.
The Mexicans were here before.
Greg, your math is right. And if the GOP cannot widen the tent and be more inclusive, it's an impossible gauntlet to go through.
Right, because like Bush got 18% of black voters. Mitt Romney got 11%. Now, even if it's Hillary and she only ends up getting roughly, let's say, 88 instead of 95 like the president, you're still talking about 1.8 million votes that can't come from white voters in swing states. So now so who does that leave? That leaves African Americans and it leaves Hispanics. And Asians are such a small demographic that half of them don't vote.
Was that a penis joke?
So it's actually, Greg, do you think it's possible we see a Trump Carson or a Trump Rubio ticket?
Ben Carson can't run.
No. Carson, he's a joke. I don't even know how he's made it this far. If you watch the guy on TV, he closes his eyes and he rolls up imaginary papers with his fingers, and that's just an honest criticism.
And Trump's starting to hit him for being low energy, and that is accurate. And
it's
that
not that he's
through.
Got low energy; it's just he has no substance. There's nothing that he talks about. He's just. I don't even know why he's there. Honestly,
he is popular.
Policy wise,
he is popular because he has been branded the candidate of character. And
no, he's been branded the candidate because he's a black Republican. Let's be honest.
I don't think that's right. So I don't think I think that diminishes what Carson brings to the discussion.
What does he bring to it?
He's a very thoughtful man who gives very measured and well cadenced responses. He's
poor for sound bites.
I think he is.
He has terrible delivery.
I'm glad he's horrible with sound bites. I think he is a man of substance. I think he's someone with great accomplishment. He is the epitome of the American dream, and that certainly resonates with people. He comes from a background of nothing with a troubled childhood and turns into a well-respected neurosurgeon and noted author. I mean, he's got bestsellers, and he's picked up a following of people who believe that he is the epitome of the American dream. And I think he could do great things. Does he have to work on his performance in a debate? Absolutely. He's not going to give
fast.
It a show.
And policies, too.
But the problem with that is that if you can't express your biography in a way that connects with people, it means nothing.
Right.
Because he is the exact opposite of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump connects with people on his biography when he graduated college from Wharton Business School with $1 million to play from daddy. I mean, and
then he lost 900.
Right.
I think that's a fair criticism, Chris. But I think it's unfair to diminish in him and to reduce him just down to a skin tone.
No, yeah. Well,
I'm not doing that.
Well, that was
Tyler
me. You can. Yeah. I'll, honestly, that's why
just
Carly Fiorina is on the stage as well.
Oh, she's impressive. She's impressive.
Carly.
She's
is
intelligent lady.
Impressive.
She just isn't great at politics yet.
She's terrible at politics.
Yeah, but Donald Trump doesn't have any policies really other than economics.
Yeah, but no, that's the life of a CEO.
He can lead.
That's something that most people don't understand. As the tenure of a CEO, you are hired for the sole purpose of being fired. And it's just it's the eventuality of that situation. And so when she was running HP and made the compact deal, maybe it was a bad deal, maybe it wasn't, but it was also during one of the hardest times that tech stocks have ever seen.
True.
And so to weather that storm and to not have the entire company crumble, I mean, Dell was also on the brink of death during that time as well. So.
I mean, the life of now a technology company is 10 years. I mean, you see the stock go public, you see people get excited about it, and then you see the talent fled and they start their own.
But they're not politicians.
They're
going to get shit on in Washington.
I think she does.
Both of them.
Granted, I think there's delusions of grandeur on everybody on that stage.
Oh,
No one appreciates how difficult that job is.
Any of those people, but I don't understand.
John
why
Kasich
those two are
could
on
walk
stage.
In day one and do that job because he's spent a life in D.C. and led an actual organization.
Yeah,
Rand Paul could not do it because he'd be like, "This is the most awful exercise in human like pain ever.
He'd be just you like know, just like we've said about Barack Obama. Barack Obama hates the job of president.
Nope.
He's bored. He hates it. It's awful. He cannot wait to be done.
It's because he goes in and...
One compliment that I would give to Chris Christie is that I think on day one he would be effective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he can cross over, but that's the thing, is it's Congress. So Christie will be beholden to Paul Ryan. No mm-hmm. doubt about it. Period. After that, you look at Donald and you say, Donald might just be like a Reagan where he says, here, you guys are in charge of this. Get this done. I have three major things I want accomplished, and I'm going to just be amiable. I'm going to dominate messaging, and I'm going to win the biggest landslide ever either party amiable. For re-election. But,
and if you're a Republican, what is going to win you the vote? If you're trying to win the Republican, a Republican candidate, what is going to win you?
Donald Trump's message.
Donald Trump is going to win.
Because it's nostalgic and it gets you enough of the white voters. It will not work with African Americans or Hispanics.
But what about the downside polls where they show that 25 to 30% of GOP voters would never support him?
That
what about Democrats? I think there's a lot of Democrats that would slide for Donald Trump. That's just because he's been a Democrat.
No, he'll get people to vote who don't.
He's a businessman. There's a lot of people on the left who are business people who are going to vote for Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, who can do the job? In my opinion, Jeb could do the job. He'd do it poorly. John Kasich could do the job. Chris Christie could do the job. You know, but it's not government camp. You know, you don't get to go and learn. You know, I don't want to pull a Scott Walker and say, we already have one apprentice. And, mm-hmm. You know, right. I don't want to pull that line. But if you look at it, you're looking for competence, and competence doesn't win elections. Messaging wins elections, and likability that's more natural than it is anything.
Do we agree that Kasich is probably would be the best? As far
oh, he'd be the best.
I'm very intrigued by the idea of a Carly Fiorina
really?
Presidency.
She's going to get crucified.
Yeah.
Kasich will be.
It has to do with her failed attempts in business. You don't.
Actually, it wasn't even failed. Like it was successful.
But that's how it comes across. It does. Comes across as being fired up.
But it only sticks to her, and it doesn't stick to Donald.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he owns the company.
Patriarchy, bro.
He's his own.
Trump just says no. It didn't happen.
Well, yeah.
I've never filed bankruptcy.
I'm very rich.
So how do people actually want to vote for him when he's like completely denying all alpha. The failures he's ever had?
He's an alpha male.
I hate that.
Women do.
Never,
that's
I would
what needs.
Never vote for
that's
him.
What Putin is.
No, strong nationalistic leaders rise because they give hope, and that's what Donald Trump gives
rise
is hope.
Eagles,
everybody. And he also, you know what? The best thing in the world to be is divisive, and that's what he is because his supporters will fall on the sword all day, and he can win an election because he'll win Ohio because it's white blue collar voters that swing the election, and they're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. They're going to vote for Donald Trump.
So let's talk to Samantha. You got to talk this close to the mic, Sam.
Like this close?
Yeah, like that close. Now
this close.
How would you describe your politics?
Oh boy, I'm pretty liberal.
Okay.
I've recently shifted more towards the less government control, but I very much have high favor in the social programs.
Mm-hmm.
I also am very liberal in the social sector.
So of these Republican candidates, are there any of them that are attractive to you?
I haven't followed the debates that closely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from what I've seen in past actions, I feel like Chris Christie, with how he's dealt with items, different, like
Sandy, being open to gay marriage, not being so beholden to the Tea Party.
He's terrible on marijuana, though.
That's political.
Dang.
It's all political. I mean, this Congress isn't going to pass marijuana upping sentences. This Congress isn't going to pass a major tax cut or reform program.
I know. And
they're not going to overturn Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that really bothers me is that, you know, like the Donald is up there and he's not really talking about anything that I would want to even vote for. You know, he was like, well, I did this and this and this. And then somebody comes at him like, hey, you didn't do this one thing. And they're like, well, that's why you're at the other end of the stage, because you don't have the poll numbers. And he doesn't actually speak to anything that me, as the token liberal in here, would
even... We're actually all classical liberals. You just distorted that name.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth. I mean, I'm not judging. I'm just telling you.
The neoliberal.
Yeah.
As the neoliberal.
The take your stuff liberal, not the leave you alone liberal.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah, can we distribute these suckers evenly between all of us?
No, I spent $5 on these suckers. They're mine.
Guess what?
I freely give you as many suckers as you like, but once you start to take them, I'm going to...
I'm giving everybody 10 of them.
No, that's not your suckers to give. Right.
I would gladly pay Tyler to steal those suckers from Chris for me.
Now, Ryan Ripley. Ryan Ripley, as the
outsourcing
other,
bro.
As the other liberal on the program right now, what? Which one of these candidates appeals to you as a libertarian? I mean, is there anybody? I don't even. How do you describe yourself politically these days? We joke that you're a Democrat, but
so I'm still more of a libertarian leaning Republican ish. So I'll end up voting for Gary Johnson this year in the general election.
Is he going to be the nominee?
I think he will be.
Yeah,
I thought he was in the lawsuit or whatever. Yeah. For the.
But the candidate that still appeals is Rand. If it's not Rand, yeah. I really like Carly. I think she's an interesting candidate. I think her messaging is really going to pick up where she is talking about those with power versus those without. I think that's going to start resonating more as she gets more time on national television. I think it's just a compelling story. She has to work on the imaging issues with the CEO comments and the failures, but I think smart people can get through that, and I think she will.
See, like, this is what I don't get. Donald Trump has a tax plan that's endorsed by Larry Kudlow, a guy that was on Reagan's Council of Economic Advisors. He is pro-gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to intervene in Iraq or Syria and has been blaming Jeb for the Iraq war and his brother not keeping us safe. So he's non-intervention. He wants to cut taxes. He doesn't hate gays. And he's even talked about we shouldn't have a flat tax because we're not ready for it. It's not time for that. And it's not fair to the lowest and poorest among us. These are all things Donald's said, and those are his stances. And he's been killed by the Tea Party for it. And yet, no libertarian, they think he's the Antichrist.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Well, what do we do but when he travels to England, visits with the Queen, and calls her ugly?
That can't be Donald Trump behind the scenes, or else he'd never be as successful as he is.
Well, he's not the
Secretary. I think he's awful. I think he's had money and privilege since day one. I think he's been the boss of whatever company his father's let him run. I think he's been able to talk to people just like that his entire life, and he's never been in a position where someone else has been able to have authority or position over him. So I think that's exactly who he is day in and day out.
Isn't that what you want a president?
Yeah, though? I say, like, that. If you don't, I mean, on policy wise, you don't want any Republican dealing with, you know, ending gay marriage or intervening in that. That's Donald
Correct.
Trump. You don't want any Republican that wants to go over and liberate the Middle East.
I honestly don't. I honestly don't think he gives a shit about social issues.
No,
his biggest thing
is fair trade agreements.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't want American workers getting screwed. No, he's the opposite. He's protectionist. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is protectionist, and if you don't believe that, you should read about him. He wants the American worker to not be undermined by Chinese subsidization of steel, and to rebuild core strength of the American economy. But people overlook all this because he has a bad haircut and he's bombastic.
How does he feel about the cheap labor that we're getting so that we can afford fruits and vegetables year-round?
That's what he despises, is he despises NAFTA because NAFTA created that.
No, yeah, I mean, in California, you know, there's...
The white people won't do the jobs.
Because it sounds like Greg wants to make America great again.
No, I don't want to make America great again. I want Donald Trump to be portrayed on his policies like he should be.
All right, so
Nobody judges anyone off policies, though. That's the
All right, so let's clear the deck. Let dear leader have the floor here. So we were talking over each other a little bit, so let's try to watch that.
Sorry.
People. No, it's not.
You know, we're either going to do it right or we're not.
I got heated. I'm sorry.
So...
Sorry, Spangle.
Shut up, Ripley.
Dad's home.
Now, here's the problem with politics today.
Nobody cares about it.
The problem...
Call Harry. Get the insurance.
The problem... I'm about to go Gran Torino up in this bitch.
We're about to get kicked off of Chris's lawn.
So,
you guys are getting me kicked off Periscope.
So the problem with politics... Aaron has a camera in our face the whole time periscoping. Now, the problem with politics today is that none of the issues matter, and we have finally come to the point where there is literally no substance in any of these debates, and no substance is welcome, and that's what the politicians were rebelling against the media yesterday. I mean, the politicians were the ones saying to the media, can we please talk about issues? How many years have we been begging politicians to talk about issues and not scandals? And we have a group of Republicans who are like, could we have some questions that aren't about fantasy football? But we've got all this bullshit where we're supposed to love our candidates and we're supposed to want to drink beer with them. And CNBC wants to make Jeb Bush the unrelatable candidate relatable. So let's hear how he's doing in his fantasy league. And so we have a culture in the media where it is tabloid journalism. So we have, what was the, I think it's Matt Tibbie's book about the day that politics went the day that politics went tabloid. And
oh yeah, tabloid sensationalism. That's Matt Tibbie.
Yeah,
I don't know what the title of that book is though.
And it's about the Clinton scandals, and that's when all this
began. It's the Drudge.
Yeah, Matt Drudge.
Yeah,
right. Because what has happened is I work for a major national radio show. My whole existence is getting you to go to bobandtom.com and click as many websites and pages and view as many of our videos and download as many of our podcasts as possible. And my job is to think about the psychology of you, the user, and how I can manipulate you into doing more of what I want, which is page views, so then I can sell more, so then we can hire more people. And that is exactly what happens at every other major media outlet. We want you to go to We Are Libertarians and start clicking around. We want you to download this podcast. Now, obviously, we don't do this for a living, so we care less. We care about the content, less about the sales.
Yeah.
Now,
as true libertarians, we substance oriented.
Right. We are long winded. We are not polished.
Self-righteous,
indignant at people who disagree with us.
Utopians.
That's exactly what we're about here.
Oh, I'm not a utopian.
I know.
Now, we can't get mad. I can't get mad at the candidates. When somebody like a Ben Carson, who, you know, Ryan says is full of substance, and he doesn't shine through, he's not built for, the reason that he's not taken seriously, and he is laughed at on Saturday Night Live for being a dumb person when he's anything but, is because he is
chief pediatric neurosurgeon for John Hopkins.
And
they made the
unimpressive. Surgery,
yeah,
they made the comment that when this is the smart guy in the race, you're all in trouble.
That's racist.
And so he is a candidate that is not built for modern politics, which is all about what Donald Trump is great at. Generating an audience, generating page views.
P.T. Barnum. Clips.
But
yes, P.T. Barnum is exactly right.
This was a question I was going to bring up. After watching that debate last night, at what point do we quit with this style of debates and we actually go to long form, we have a question, and we go to... It won't happen, will it?
No.
But that's what needs to happen, correct?
Because
I would love to hear people's policies.
Nobody has the attention span for that.
It doesn't matter. I want to hear what people actually want to do and how their policies are going to work. I don't even give a shit if it's with their advisors, because that's how they're going to work in the White House. They're not going to be by themselves.
I sat in debate negotiations. I was one of the mediators for Andy Horning in 2010 with Dan Coats and Brad Ellsworth as we went through the process of planning out how the debates were going to operate. And both parties... Sam Goldstein and I showed up and are like, yeah, thanks for letting us be here. And the other two parties came in with very detailed instructions of what would and would not go on.
Yeah.
And the whole point of...
There'll be no talk of God-intended rape.
Well, I mean, the whole thing was designed to, if we have to have a debate, we want it to be as neutered as possible, because we want as less time as possible, because the media is the enemy. And you saw that, you know, I think we look at it and we say, and we'll go to you, Ryan, and get your thoughts on this next. I think we look at it and we say, well, it's just the Republicans. They want to beat up on the media because they don't get favorable press, and so they're just trying to cover up their failures by blaming somebody else. When in reality, as someone who has worked in the media and as someone who has worked in electoral politics and as someone who has been around government and has been a reporter, the media is the fucking problem. And
true.
It's not even the media that is the fucking problem. It is you, the consumer of the media, that is the fucking problem. We sit here and we bitch and moan and whine about what the media does not do, and then you watch nothing but Khloe Kardashian
and
bullshit.
You want to see Bruce Jenner be brave.
It's honestly, right. It's incompetence on the part of the voter. as far as knowing what is actually going on or the issues is what it comes down to.
Well, we overvalue voting.
We do, and that's
no doubt about it.
I think that's the reason you still have to own land to vote.
I mean, no, there, no, literally, there is a. That is funny.
You have no interest. No, I'm.
Yeah, you
serious.
Have no interest. It's your property, and yet you have nothing. The mass to lose. Is going to decide what to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, but it's literally. I have no. I'm going to take no responsibility for what happens. It's just okay. It's out there.
I want it. I'm going to take it, and you know that's so. When you dumb it down to that point, and then you rip out civics out of public education, and you know, you focus on God knows what.
That was the whole idea of public education. I mean, sound like a conspiracy theorist.
No. A federal democratic republic requires engaged, highly focused citizenry, and we don't have
people.
It.
Yeah, I know. And
if you're lucky,
really
if you,
we dumb
that's
our
really
people
tough
down.
To ask.
It is tough to ask. Go out. If you watch Jaywalking, like when Jay Leno used to be on, that's what people don't want to admit. That's the average voter. Mm-hmm. That isn't like the bottom 10%. That is Joe Sixpack. And he doesn't know the three branches of government and doesn't understand that people in Congress don't have the authority to do things that weren't delineated to them.
Well, that's what kills me. Everybody wants to vote for president, but yet they won't vote for senator or Congress. They don't
care. Well, I don't know enough. I'm an advocate of don't go.
Yeah,
I only
exactly.
want people
stay
to know
home.
What,
stay
go,
home.
That know going. I don't. I'm not one of these people. Like, let's get voter turnout and let's be the ones we've been waiting for. Like, oh my God, you couldn't even pass. You don't even know who the vice president is.
They get convinced to vote for somebody because they're like, oh, they gave me a T-shirt.
Right. They get bought. That's all it is. Well, it's exchange and a trade. And that's why I think that anytime you have a society that devalues voting to the point where you don't require people to aspire to what it means, what you're selecting, you're losing. You are asking for it to fall apart and for power to centralize.
And that's why Bernie Sanders will be our president.
Right, because look at where we are now.
I'm promising you everything for free.
Well, and if you look at his argument, it's ridiculous. He goes on railing about the corruption of government, and then
he says more government
will fix it. Yeah, and oh no, I'm the guy we've been waiting for. Barack Obama's as idealistic as anyone in history that's ever been president. Jimmy Carter the same way. They were the... Obama was way better than Carter.
It worked. It didn't collapse. It hasn't collapsed yet.
But you can't have idealists in there because they get in there. They're the smartest people that have been...
There's no end to it.
And they've been the smartest people in every room they've ever entered their whole life. They get in there and they want to know the minutiae. It's not the way it works.
It's tough. Trust me.
And Bernie thinks that, oh, if we can just have more government for this awful government
we
created, we can fix it.
We need more college-educated kids because...
So we can have more master's degrees, baristas.
All right, we gotta let Ryan go at 9.
Get on here, Ryan. Yeah.
Ryan has responsible. He has adult things to do after 9 p.m. But I think
Sorry for talking so much, Ryan.
I want to give Ryan the floor. Ryan, some of the media for us. I mean, as somebody who spent some time studying the media and thinking about the media, how do we? I guess my question is, how do we find? Let's bring it down to what we, the user, can do. So how can we, as consumers, make smart decisions in the media that we're consuming?
I think it's important to remember, and I think, Chris, we learned this over those 14 episodes, is that the media is exactly what we ask it to be. You know, we vote with our by putting, you know, the TV on that channel and listening to those people. And so they do exactly what it takes to get the eyeballs on the screen. So whatever we get, it's our own fault. But I'd also say the two political parties also play a lot of sway and influence in that as well. So they're very good at, you know, Ryan's Priebus can come out and say, I'm very disappointed in how that debate went, but he doesn't care. I mean, he set it up to be with CNBC. He knew how this was going to go from the start. He's pleased that there were 20 million eyeballs on all of his candidates and that everyone made money at $350,000 a pop on those commercials, and I'm sure that the GOP and the RNC did very well off of it. But realizing that the RNC and the DNC control the debates, control the message coming out, have a lot of influence over the radio show hosts that you listen to every morning, and that the talking points are distributed every day, and that those things are happening. Just understanding that the message you hear at the end of the day, you know, after you get home from work, you throw on the news and you're listening, that's a crafted message that's been controlled, distilled, and shaped for a very specific purpose. And if you can get through those ideas and understand that a lot of it's propaganda and manipulation, I think you'll be okay.
In what ways are we seeing propaganda and manipulation, Ryan?
Well, I think it's a lot of these. Even we saw it in the gotcha questions. I think, you know, Marco Rubio, you cashed out your 401k at one point, or Ben Carson, your picture was on an internet website. All these little gotcha things that are not substantive to the discussion. They don't add or detract in any single way. It's really just, well, here's a talking point that we're going to spit out. It's the reason we have to have fact-checking after every debate. Yes. Every time that someone says something, we got to fact-check it because there's some well-crafted message that's skirting just on the right side of truth, but it's close enough to be false, you know? And sometimes they go over the edge. I think those things are indicative that it is – the majority of what you hear in that debate is propaganda.
Absolutely.
Right? So they'll say that I lowered taxes this much, but they'll be very specific about the years, yeah, or prosperity was great from this month to that month, but not tell you about the record lows the month before. And so you'd really just have to be careful about numbers and facts and how anything you're hearing, especially out of a politician, is a well-distilled, crafted, and fine-tuned message that skirts on truth, but it is probably more based on spin than anything else.
And Ryan, would you agree with this? Any country that was able to be sold the Iraq War because they hate us for our freedom, we live in a propaganda society. I mean,
well,
there's no refuting,
I mean,
that.
It was so reactionary.
I think we should poll the Iraqi people on how they feel about our freedom before we invade.
No, there's Saudis ran the planes into the towers, but yeah, we got to attack.
No. So it was all Bush.
No, Bush did 9/11. I've seen the memes.
Bush did 9/11.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
Greg,
it was ponies.
To Greg, it was Hitler. So
no.
I don't know.
No, Hitler wasn't
as bad as
Bush.
No.
There's no way.
Let's be clear. So, he would never.
I think it is clear, though, that the media has been bought and sold.
Absolutely.
Not coincidental that large corporations are consuming and consolidating all of the media outlets, and again, in an attempt to collude with political parties. And in an attempt to gain political favor, and they do that by crafting and forming messages
is
back
it collusion?
To the American people.
Is it
it's
collusion,
definitely
or
collusion.
Is it all the incentives are aligned? Because the
that?
American consumer wants what it wants. The media is more than happy to give it to them, and the corporations are more than happy to feed them as much as they can, so
yep,
they'll buy.
The problem is the Democratic and the Republican national parties
give us what we want.
No, with the debates, they sell it out only to who they want, and that's...
They sell it out to where their candidates can make the most money.
Well, where do you think that money's coming from?
The American
from their donors.
Buying product, but the American consumers buy the products of their major political donors who then donate to the major politician. I mean,
I know
it's
a giant fuck shit circle.
Level.
I know
but,
that.
I mean,
but
getting mad at the corruption of the elites.
I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong.
Exactly what we ask for is
no, Greg,
crazy.
I started with the idea that we get what we ask for.
Right.
Exactly.
But,
Ryan, you've
read
that.
There is some part of responsibility on those parties because they hand out the bullet points. And these large media conglomerates turn it into clickbait for our eyeballs, and we end up watching it.
Well, yeah,
and so the packaging is done very well so that the corporations still make money. But at the same time, there is collusion between these very powerful entities that are getting the messages out that they want to have put out.
Yeah.
Would those messages sell if people didn't want it?
Yep.
Rand
That's
Paul's
exactly
message
right.
doesn't
they
sell and people don't. People want that, apparently.
They package it so well. It's all in the packaging.
There's no
with substance.
Paul, and that's why he's struggling.
It's all fluff.
I know, but that's what sells. If fluff didn't sell, then NPR would make way more money than the Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Right.
Well, think about what Rand Paul does to a CNBC type a channel, which is highly tied to Wall Street, right?
Right.
So
it's
not coincidental that he got 6 minutes, and which was the lowest amount of time by a candidate.
He did get the toughest question.
If he's in
too.
Office, he destroys the very foundation by which CNBC makes money. And what I mean by that is Wall Street.
Yeah.
He tears them apart.
Right.
Yeah, but he missed an enormous moment last night where they're on CNBC, they're dealing with economic issues. Bernie Sanders is taking off because he's railing against the greed of Wall Street. He's railing against the big banks. He's exercising the demons in the population against greed and corporate greed and Wall Street. And no one is better poised to carry that message for the Republican Party than Rand Paul. And he just didn't do it. And if he did it, it wasn't the lead story on any news that I saw.
No, he didn't.
I didn't watch the debate. And full disclosure, I did not watch the debate, but I watched a lot of media.
It was not an
today.
Economic debate. It was a who said what about who debate.
Yeah,
it had nothing to do about
TMZ
economics.
Put up a poll. They let the viewers picked the questions and they had someone read
they
them.
They asked two tax questions.
Did you just
questions.
Cite TMZ?
They did. I mean, honestly, the level of questions that were
hey,
asked
they
were
broke
TMZ
the Lamar
level.
Odom story. Come on now. They're reputable.
I'm not saying they don't have live up to the minute news now.
They do.
They just don't have the substance to know the difference between fiscal and monetary policy.
Greg, you can keep your economics, but if they touch my FanDuel, I'm going to be pissed.
No, yeah. And that's exactly right, because the mm-hmm. question of FanDuel is a legitimate question. It shows the status versus non-status, whether government shouldn't intervene in gambling online. And the reason that there's intervention is on behalf of the people who already own physical casinos.
Uh-huh.
That is government corruption. Yet that argument is the argument of the person trying to beat Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination,
right.
Saying if we just have more corruption, we're going to fix the corruption.
My favorite was Bernie Sanders came out for the legal aid. Marijuana. He was pro marijuana, but yet he wants to regulate Uber.
Right.
Like, what the fuck is it, Bernie? Come on now.
I mean, well, that's the issue of employee protections for labor, but
no,
right? No, I mean that's why
not
he
in
did
a free
it.
Market.
He's got to beat Hillary for the labor endorsement.
Yeah,
but yeah, he doesn't believe in free
markets.
He's gonna
say whatever the fuck.
Yeah, Bernie. The only difference between a libertarian, between where Rand Paul wants to take society and where Bernie Sanders wants to take society, is how you get there. Rand Paul says, listen, look at how corrupt this government is. Let's get the hell rid of it. I want it to be small enough I can barely see it. Bernie says, no, we just need the right people that are smart and want to work hard, and we will be able to get to that place where it's fair. Libertarians and socialists have no difference in endpoint. They have the literally largest difference in the path to get to
exactly.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Bernie's found an appeal among
libertarians. The path that Bernie has laid out is more compelling.
It is. I think Bernie may...
Getting stuff is very compelling.
It is.
Well,
who's going
to... The...
Free shit. How can you argue?
Ryan, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, Bernie has... I love Glenn Beck's analysis of Bernie Sanders. Chris, I'm sure you're familiar with this too. He's talking about the morality portion of people not having things and how it's immoral that the government doesn't take care of people. And it's immoral that there aren't these protections in place. And he's just resonating along with, it's immoral that these student loans exist. Why isn't your education free? He's hitting on all cylinders.
Oh, yeah.
Now, can he take on Hillary? I don't know. But it's more compelling than we're just going to get rid of everything and see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, then we're just going to let people, engage with each other and come to each other's aid and get to know your neighbors again.
But I wish Rand would just step up and say, when someone says, why is free education bad? If he would just explain to people the dangers of this economic mess and how it creates instability and makes you unsafe and how it's immoral to take from one person and give it to another and actually make the libertarian message resonate with people and be more compelling to the general public. It's possible to do. I think it can be done. But he's just not interested. It's like, hey, it's a good idea. Just shut up and accept it.
How are you supposed to do it, though, when they say, hey, you have 30 seconds to respond to this specific question, and then you go into, wait a minute, we got to talk about the underlying factors here.
I think you stop being a wonk about things, and you basically distill it down.
I agree.
That's where the cream rises to the crop.
Is wonderful.
The great communicator.
I agree. The commentators were totally just stepping all over him. He didn't get to say shit. I think he had, 6 minutes and 15 seconds or something in the debate?
Who, Rand?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Rand
chose,
only wanted five.
That. I'm sorry. He decided to not step in and interject himself.
I know.
Himself,
I agree.
Which he
I don't
has
think
to
it,
do.
I agree.
He's not. He's just not going to play the game.
I don't think he's.
He doesn't want to be president.
He doesn't.
Well, I mean, he doesn't want to have to do what's necessary in order to be president because he doesn't want to go down to that level.
He's not ready yet.
He's not ready to go and jump in bed with the whores.
I don't know.
What do you think about the Democratic side? How do you feel about that?
I think Bernie Sanders is an exceptionally compelling speaker. I think he has his heart in the right place, and I think he means well, and he actually tells the truth.
However, he believes it.
No, he does, and that's the danger.
Is
idealists get crushed on this way.
He's telling the truth, and that's a problem.
Barack Obama
was
an enormous idealist. He goes in, signs an executive order. We're going to shut down Guantanamo on day one. Pretty sure that
I'm not scared of Bernie being president because I don't think he's going to get shit done.
Yeah,
what you were saying?
We're going to see the remake of A Few Good Men before Guantanamo Bay gets shut down. That's just the facts. It's not. You can go in with your ideals and that I'm smart and I believe the world's rational. And if I can just find compromise with rational people, welcome to politics.
Yeah.
You're done.
I agree.
All right. Well,
Spangle,
we have to.
It's been.
Yeah,
it's
we
been
have to
blast.
Say goodbye to our beloved friend Ryan Ripley.
Sorry for keeping up, Ryan.
And
I enjoyed this thoroughly. I asked to have the opportunity to trade some politics. I wasn't expecting some of the other topics, but
like what? Blow pops?
It's always interesting and fun with you guys. I'll say it like that.
We appreciate talking to you.
He's got to go make love to the wife. All right. Hey, Ryan.
Oh, why did you do that?
Hey, Ryan, guess what?
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, ice cold.
Should have asked him what the shape
ice
of
cold.
What is the shape of Italy?
A boot.
Oh.
Das Boot.
Das Boot.
Das Boot.
Wait, yeah. Was that asked from Germany?
No.
Das Boot is the turn side.
Yeah, you got to turn it so the airflow doesn't make it bubble.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like we're done with the Republicans and the media. Let's talk about the Democrats.
Let's talk about Lincoln Chaffee.
Yes.
Is he still in it? Is he gone?
No, he dropped out.
All right, good.
Former Republican Senator Lincoln Chaffee from the first family of Rhode Island.
Yes.
Right.
Going on railing about literally the grandfather of one of the first, like, Andrew Carnegie type families in America, the Vanderbilts. And he's on there talking about how it isn't fair and we need to regulate the Wall Street of J.P. Morgan. Like,
no,
him and his dad made,
like,
their billions together.
Yeah, it goes back even further.
Yeah, like to the Walkers, Walker Point.
Right, the Bushes, and they're all, like, related.
Lizard people.
Hey, Bush did 9/11.
Bush did not do 9/11.
Yes.
Lizard people.
I was there. I've seen the documents. I'm joking. Anyway.
This is not Free Talk Live.
God damn it. I'm on the wrong radio. I'm not in New Hampshire.
If you came here for Ian Freeman, you're in serious trouble, because Chris Cantwell is down the hall in that way.
He's wearing Cantwell shoes. How am I confused?
He's got the dirty white New Balance with the Velcro straps.
I've got the Nike
Son
Air Max.
Of a bitch.
The Nike.
Pedo loafers.
Yeah. The pedo loafers.
Yeah.
Hey, they make you run faster.
I got
from
that,
the police.
That Fogel swag.
All right. Let's before we move on, let's take a look quick.
Can
breaks.
We talk about?
Yeah, switch out boards and then give everybody a mic.
Agreed.
All right. Well, let's take a little break. And 3, 2, 1. All right, and we're back. Through the magic of editing, that 15-minute break to switch out the board so everybody has a microphone and cigarettes are smoked and beers are drank and suckers were cucked and I had a cookie. So...
What did you say the suckers were?
Suckers were cucked. He came over here and he stole one of my suckers.
Hashtag cuck life, baby. Bro.
I think I broke my teeth on one of them.
I didn't steal it. Bernie Sanders redistributed to my mouth.
Shut up.
The beer's starting to kick in, by the way. Yeah. Listeners. So this side of the table is having a good podcast.
Good time.
YOLO, bro. YOLO.
And Aaron, after an hour and a half, is still periscoping.
Yes, sir.
How many Saudis have watched?
Exactly zero.
We have one.
Get me a Saudi, and I'm going to thank him for 9/11.
Some new listeners right now.
It is just Jeremiah Morrill.
Whoa!
Oh,
last one.
I'm pretty sure that your cat just broke something.
Just because it's National Cat Day, Mittens, it does not mean that you can destroy things.
You should download these in iBooks.
Okay.
She just ruined any chance that you would have gotten another
all
of them. From the library. I know you only have one left. Hearted.
And she has shredded the headphones that Aaron is wearing, apparently.
No, that was Aaron's got a nervous tick, and he always just tries to bite whatever's on his ear.
I'm a picker.
All right. So, again, Aaron Ewert, Sam Nix, and Travis Weiss.
Travis? It's Daniel Contington.
And drunk?
Yeah.
Drunk and...
Greg, how are you?
Basketball. I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
Greg seems like he's ready to go.
No, I'm not ready to go.
All right.
I feel bad because you're up very late and you get up very early.
I have been up since 4:30 a.m. It is now 9:30 p.m. I did not get a nap, but I'm actually hanging in there.
Have you had a shower today?
I did take a shower instead of a nap.
Oh, well, I've learned that taking a shower instead of a nap is actually quite the rejuvenating... issue.
I feel rejuvenated.
If you're going to stay up, but not if you're going to go to bed.
I had to fight that issue today at 2.
Mm-hmm. You showered this week?
I did. Yeah, it hit Praise 2, Jesus. And I was like, nap, shower, shower. I had to be around
people.
Can it
wait till next Thursday? Is there any way?
Exactly. As long as I can make it through today, then I can make it to next week.
Now, you're a scumbag liberal, Sam.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Who are you rooting for in the presidential elections?
Honestly, I'm going to sound like a terrible person, but I don't really pay attention until it gets like 9 months out.
I think that's respectable.
We're 12.
Even 12 months out, I think that it's kind of crazy to...
But primaries are going to start in January?
First Republican ones, second February. Of February.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to start in February. I mean, that's not a crazy pants amount of times to decide.
Well, Hillary's going to be in jail, so...
No, she's not. Shut
your mouth. Elites don't go to jail.
Y'all bullshit.
No, I really like the European aspect of it. They get like, 40 days or something to... I don't know if that's
actually
correct,
but... Oh, you like the forced vacation?
No, it's not forced vacation. Well, it's that they are only allowed to campaign for a certain amount of time.
Oh, you mean the limited... Oh, yeah, yeah.
You just hate free speech. Okay.
God damn me. No, it's that I don't like hearing all of the debates and stuff. What you guys were talking about earlier, where it's like... How are you doing with your fantasy football team? Blah, blah, blah. They have to find filler questions so that...
Substance.
Yeah. And so I want to actually hear about the issues because I can actually follow those. And if they're not talking about that, then I don't even want to follow the debates.
True.
And so, you know, I'm actually... I would count myself as a liberal, but I still want to know what the Republicans are saying in their debates because I... used to live in California where in the primaries when you registered as an independent you could vote
either way.
Yeah. Right. You actually if you registered as an independent you could select actually a candidate for here's the Republicans, here's the Democrats, and you could actually say, hey, this is the Republican I would vote for, here's the Democrat I would vote for.
It's called an open primary. So, yeah, they throw all the candidates into a primary, and then it's called top two, and then the top two. But the problem with that is you end up with the two best finance candidates instead of the Libertarian being on the ballot, the Socialist being on the ballot. With five choices on the fall ballot, you end up with two.
Don't you?
I think a lot of the issue with that, though, is that there's so many people talking so loudly and have so much money that they can just force their voice on everyone. When if we would actually like condense the amount of time that people could talk.
But don't you think that that would have the opposite effect where people would start spending even more money in a concentrated amount of time? You're right. They're definitely money plays a strategy. I mean, that's why Scott Walker's out. I mean, he just ran out of cash. And that's why Donald Trump has been so destructive to this field is it didn't work out like the way that people have been planning for 4 years.
That's why Jeb's cooked.
But if you're only allowed a certain amount of time, I understand that, you know, more money would override the less money. But, you know, people that don't have the amount of capital to actually campaign over 2 years, they would actually be a presence when it comes close to voting
time. It comes down to personal responsibility and informing yourself and actually doing the research is honestly what it comes down to.
It's not a passive experience.
There's no other way. Someone doesn't get elected because they're, I don't know, most popular.
I have a question, though.
They don't?
So if we
They shouldn't. That's not the way it should
Al Gore.
Work.
Right.
If we were 8 months out from voting, and that's when everybody joined the race, and, you know, we're in the same year that's when you vote, and everybody joined the race at the same time,
but it's
do
not
you
like
think you... more people would be interested in knowing what was going on instead of
no one
2 years
in America
out?
Is interested anyway.
I think it'd
don't
be,
say no
so
one.
Like,
that's an
ideal fit. Like, so that's a
I'm
you're
sorry,
right. No, you're correct.
I'm a utopian liberal.
You're not a utopian. I'm not criticizing you.
A rational thing.
I'm really not criticizing you at all because I get the sentiment you mean, and let's limit the exposure to all this madness. And then that way we won't have to experience, hopefully, people like Trump, and we get just discussions on substance. The problem is there's no way of actually stopping these people from showing up in the rest of the media and dominating the news cycle anyway. Donald Trump didn't have to announce that he was running for president to get media exposure. He had to call Rosie O'Donnell a fat pig. Yep. I mean, he will dominate the news cycle because he chooses to. And so, yes, I get that sentiment. Let's end the madness, but there's no way you can use laws, force, controlling what people have exposure to in order to do that.
Is the problem that we elect people instead of an idea?
Let me go back to the idea of the top two and the condensed time frame. I mean, from a purely philosophical argument, it limits free speech, and so that's why I wouldn't be in favor of it. Secondly, I don't know that it would completely work based alone on Schwarzenegger's victory in the recall election of Gray Davis.
I think you mean the gubernator.
The gubernator.
He was my gubernator.
Yeah, and so you weren't out there when he won the gubernatorial election, did you?
He was my gubernator.
Right, but at the very beginning, were you there for the recall?
No, not at the beginning, but he was my gubernator.
So he is, there was 100 different candidates that were running for this office, and he and Arianna Huffington and Mary Carey, the porn star, all ran in the short, condensed time frame.
Mary Carey or Harry Carey?
Mary Carey, the porn star.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
And so Schwarzenegger rose to the top because he was the one with the most name ID. And so because you had this limited amount of time to raise money, the reason people raise money in politics is to raise name ID. And so if you condense the time frame, we're assigning ourselves the person who's going to get
most recognition.
The most name recognition. So
Bernie's not possible in a condensed short race.
Neither is a Ron Paul.
Mm-mm.
No.
Sure?
Positive.
Libertarian is.
The other part of it, too, is the long time frame is a vetting process. It shows us the viability of certain candidates. And as much as we don't like the blood in the water sharks mentality of the media, it does do a good job of weeding out the people who can't manage a campaign and therefore can't manage a country.
But I think that the long time frame also weeds out people that don't have the capital, that haven't been able to raise it,
mm-hmm.
but also have really good ideas.
Sure.
Well, you got to have it's not either or. I mean, you have to be able to do both. You got to have good ideas that are compelling to individuals, and you have to be able to sell it. Rand Paul, perfect example, can't sell it. Ron Paul can sell it and has great ideas.
I don't like Rand Paul. I like Ron Paul.
Well, they're no different.
Rand is trying
And I asked Ron himself.
Yeah, Rand is trying to run off the family name. He's not doing such a
He's disavowing he's, his father.
He's a terrible people person. Is what it is. He's unlikable.
Well, he's not a salesman. He's not a marketer and a promoter.
And I don't think Ron is either. Ron just got up and spoke the goddamn truth and stuck with it.
Ron has endearing qualities that make you want to root for him
because he voted against everything that was terrible.
And he's a cranky old man. He's cute, funny.
I know,
but that's a
crazy old man.
Why do you not like Rand Paul, but you like Ron Paul as somebody who is a liberal?
So after a long period of time, I knew what Ron Paul stood for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen the bad liberating stuff where he's like free bananas and just being kind of crazy.
My favorite.
but God I understood damn. His politics.
Free everything.
You know, but Rand Paul, I've seen enough. Almost, I don't want to be cliched, but
can you name a policy? And I'm not trying to beat you up.
He was more conservative about stuff earlier.
If you're referring to like marriage, like his thoughts.
Yeah, I have a huge issue about the social.
Well, he doesn't think the government should be involved in marriage at all. Does that bug you?
His problem is that the government is involved in any marriage.
He's an anarcho-capitalist. Yeah. Has been since he was born.
What are his stances on?
He wants to end mandatory minimums for drugs.
Not social aspects. What's his stance on the financial aspect?
14% flat tax period, and then
I don't like that.
Why?
She doesn't. It's a regressive tax, right?
I don't like flat tax.
It's why? Regressive.
Because I don't think that every single person should have to pay 14%.
Is that not fair, though?
Ron Paul doesn't like a flat tax.
How is it not fair if everyone has to pay the exact same amount? You realize 14% of $1 is 14% of...
Here's the theory behind it. When you don't pay for something, you don't value it.
I can't talk anymore about
this. The problem with it is... No. Hey.
No, you don't.
I'm going to disagree with you because I think it should not be based upon income or whatever else. I think it should be based upon consumption. Would that not be more?
Why would you want to?
I think
one,
consumption tax is regressive, though, because it.
Oh, it's,
you
yeah.
can pay 14% tax on anything, but you know that when you have more money, you're going to buy more things than somebody who is spending
not
their entire paycheck on something. So when you pay 14% as somebody making $1 million, you're going to spend more money because you have more liquid assets
well, did
to
they
spend
not
on these
that?
Things. And so when you're somebody that's like barely meeting the minimums, if you pay a 14% flat tax, you're still paying your rent. You're still
right. And that's why he exempted people up to their first 50,000 income. So they wouldn't pay any tax.
Yeah. The problem is
personal
that
personal or marriage?
You would not. And anyone as a couple up to 75 and as an individual up to 50 would pay no federal income tax.
When it comes to tax.
Then who's going to pay for the roads then at that point?
Those are state.
Nope. Who's paying the state
federal
taxes?
Gas tax. But I mean, those are your state. Rand Paul can't say.
We need to raise the gas tax.
Hold on. Let's let Tyler hop in here.
I literally got into an argument about this on the internet the other day, and someone was like, let's just raise the tax of the rich. And I'm like, okay, what do you want to do? I was like, let's just liquidate everything the rich own. The top 400 people in America, do you realize they own $2.1 trillion? How much is that going to pay over the next 10 years? That's going to pay...
the interest
it's
on what
not
we
even gonna pay for the Social Security, Medicare. It's not even gonna pay for that
right.
in 1 year.
Right.
If you liquidate everything that they own. So this entire idea that the wealthy are gonna pay, we'll just tax them more.
What was the let me find the meme that I posted up of Taylor Swift?
It's completely
is that a meme or a meme?
Nobody realizes how much we spend trillions of dollars. Nobody knows how much a trillion fucking dollars is what's retarded.
Watch your language.
It's honestly retarded. I'll always say retarded as much as I want.
Heritage.
Watch your language.
Heritage put out a meme.
Wait, you're citing the Heritage Foundation?
That's right.
You can cite the tax foundation.
Hold on, liberal.
Cite
talk to the hand.
Want.
How long would it take Taylor Swift to pay off our debt? Forbes estimates that Taylor Swift earned around $80 million in 2015 and performed 55 concerts. She would have to perform every day of 3 years to pay for 1 day of interest that accrued on our debt.
There's a huge difference between a trillion and a billion. Do you realize a trillion is 100,000 billion dollars. It's fucking retarded how much money that is.
Watch your language.
I don't give a fuck. It's stupid.
Watch your language.
People don't realize how much fucking money that they're like, we can
watch
afford
your
it.
Language.
All right,
you realize the government has no money except for what they tax you.
All right, everybody, let's take a deep breath. Let's calm
down. No,
let's,
I'm not going to because
calm
this
down.
Pisses me off and people can't do simple.
Let's center our chakras. Okay, let's center our chakras. Do we need a Lara bar?
Saba.
I will take you for a ride in the Subaru.
All
calm
right,
you down.
Let's go.
It's time for some downward dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody needs to get into the warrior pose.
Now, Joe Biden, Greg.
Huh?
Biden.
I like Joe.
We haven't talked about it, but Joe decided not to run for president. I was sure he was going to jump in.
Yeah, I think if Hillary had had a worse debate, because she really stood out and looked like she was capable of handling the crisis and the issues with Benghazi, he would have got in. But the biggest problem is Hillary has 1/5 of the delegates already pledged without primaries, and the donor network's the exact same.
Right.
May I step in here?
Sure.
I never thought that Biden would have... Mm-hmm. run because honestly between how he's been the vice president and he's kind of been the joke.
I know, and that's the funny thing is that Joe Biden getting into the race was going to look like the elder statesman of the race before he got in.
It's because he's liked on both sides.
All right. Vice presidents
he
are
is.
Like that though,
yeah.
right?
Cool. No. They're all no. It used to be the vetting process to be president. Al Gore.
But honestly, I think
he
that he would have been like he would have been the joke. It was like
he's a sharp
champ,
dude.
He was the one that was like, this is a big fucking deal.
I think
it
Biden
was.
I think Biden would be their best bet, honestly.
President Obama didn't pass any major legislation once he cashed in his cards.
Yeah.
He was the entire Senate broker.
Yep.
And then when Rahm ran for mayor of Chicago, that ended the like Frank Underwoodian nature of the Obama organization where he could buy. I mean, Rahm Emanuel sent a dead fish.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so.
He did.
I mean, he literally sent a dead fish.
I haven't heard that story.
He sent a figurehead.
Yeah.
Figurehead is what
he
said. He
sent a dead fish and said, you guys are done.
To who?
You'll have to look up. Sorry, it was a Democrat. It was a Southern Democrat that tried to break rank.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Rahm Emanuel is the godfather for a reason. And Joe Biden's honestly, I'd argue, like Bernie, except he's more blue collar and not white northeastern liberal.
Right.
He's more believable. He's just white.
He's more likable.
He's Joe Sixpack. I mean, his memes are him washing his Camaro shirtless. Like, there's a very middle America.
Your wife's neck.
Yeah.
I actually have a koozie with him where it's like this. And it says "Cheers, Champ" on it, and I would totally have a beer with him.
I would have a beer with Biden.
He'd be the only one in this race I would want to.
I'd have a beer with
Trump.
Bernie.
I don't want Hillary to be president, but unfortunately,
Bernie drinks wine spritzers.
I would have a beer with Hillary, and then get really confused.
Conversation that we're having around this table has devolved into who do you like the most as a person?
Nobody.
Who
would
you get a beer with?
Welcome to American politics.
On Joe.
No, as far as on the Democrat side.
What policy? This is where there's overlap with Trump, is making sure the trade agreements don't screw the American worker.
This is where it comes in the same party.
Right.
Which me and you have talked about lots.
And that's, but the question is, with Bernie Sanders, Bernie has a strong appeal because he has the Ron Paul quality of, he's cute and,
it's the underground. I'm gonna say what you guys want, but I may be able to. He completely does.
Yeah.
He's a completely honest candidate. You cannot knock him for that, but he's wrong.
But here's the thing, we all like to say he's wrong, like especially libertarians.
But he's gonna get elected. Like he could get elected. There's a possibility.
Hillary Clinton killed a guy on her husband's campaign, Roger Brown. There's no way that she's letting this one slip through the cracks. Oh, yeah.
It's already set up. Hillary's going to be the candidate. She's too presidential.
She did so well in the last debate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Okay, I don't like her politics, but let's be honest. She's the most presidential person running for president.
If you hammer Hillary on Benghazi, then you had a shot at drawing blood. And showing her is not capable of handling a crisis, but Bernie instead went the opposite. He said, "America's sick of hearing about these emails and scandals."
I agree.
And he's never going to beat her on mass appeal.
I'm ready for oligarchy.
Are you sure?
Positive. He'll never do it because people fear the Clintons.
Yeah.
If you piss off the Clintons, Bill doesn't trot out around and endorse people in tough congressional races.
What happens if the FBI brings her up on charges?
They're not going to.
No.
Elites don't go to jail.
No, there's no way. No way.
So you're saying it's completely rigged.
Yeah.
She's above
no, I think the Benghazi hearings went so poorly for the Republicans and they looked so embarrassed
Benghazi,
that it's done.
I'm talking about emails.
No, that it's all the same thing.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
It doesn't matter.
No, it matters, but people don't know that it does.
Right.
I mean, it's completely two-faced. I agree with you. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate over here.
No, I agree. I just don't think so. Like, it's like Ron Paul in Iowa. Ron Paul places third, then 3% of the vote. Ron Paul looks viable, but at the end of the day, they're going to change the rules in order to prevent that ever from happening.
They had their candidate.
Because Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat.
He's not.
He's an independent socialist.
And the thing is, I read a lot of socialist shit, and they don't like Bernie Sanders at all.
No, because he's a Democratic socialist.
He's not socialist enough.
No.
Well, that's always the problem with, you know, there's...
There's not enough government.
Like, Gary Johnson is not libertarian enough, you know?
No, that's because he was a Republican.
Right. Exactly.
He's been a Republican his whole life until he was a libertarian.
Right. We're pretty much just sitting here scratching our head being like, how can anybody vote for these?
No.
I know. That's how it is.
And it's tough. Like, I believe the world works away, but I can't prove it. I cannot point to anything in this world that I say, this is the way the world works, and if we just get rid of government, this is how it works. I can't point to one example.
Right.
Bernie Sanders can't point to one example where it's worked effectively, because in history it's failed, because you eventually run out of other people's money. So the thing is, we both have these ideals, but libertarianism, community worked, right? Because communities came together and supported each other.
I think it comes down to... personal responsibility, and
it always does.
I mean, that's what truly drives. If you're waiting on the government to send you a check so you can go cash it and then do whatever, I mean, you're not contributing to society. You're doing anything.
No, it actually splits it up.
I know.
Go ahead. You were going to say something, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to say that there's got to be more than one way to skin a cat, and the fact that we're so ideological,
pure.
about everything is crazy.
It is, because we don't know. None of us know.
No.
None of us know. Just because something worked somewhere else doesn't mean it's going to work here.
Yeah, sure.
You know, there's cultural differences. There's
just like Bernie bringing up the fact that, in Scandinavia, it's a utopian system. Well, it's a homogenous society there.
Just like Vermont, where it failed.
Very
and there's no Mexicans.
America. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't take that little tiny country that's the size, you know, population-wise of Indiana and plug it into a country 330 million.
And that was what they knew at the founding was if you concentrate power, it's centralized, and have one size fits all across the board, then you end up alienating people because it doesn't work, because it does. There's cultural differences in every single ethnic community.
If you go back and listen to episode 91 of this podcast, you hear what happens in monopolistic bureaucracies. I mean, you hear the total paralysis, the dehumanization.
No one will take responsibility for the wrongs.
Right. And
can we?
An individual cannot get justice. An individual cannot get help. An individual ends up dying.
Would you agree that there is no perfect system?
No system is perfect because it's a system.
Exactly.
It's full of human beings.
I would totally agree.
It has to be flexible because everything changes. It's not dynamic.
But is there a system that you would want to live under that other people want to live under?
Too? Ideally or reality?
I just want to be left alone.
Sweden. I'm talking about 300 million people.
They're dying right now.
300 million people.
It's because they understand how birth control works.
No, literally, Sweden is bankrupting, and the far right is rising because they've taken too many immigrants, and their welfare system's been too helpful to too many outsiders. They're about to elect Golden Dawn, which is the Nazis.
Right.
Well, you have to look at what Iceland did.
Read about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Europe is going back to everything
Hitler. Works well. Everything works well until outsiders introduced.
I just want to implement their system of standing for a bus. Where everybody stands 3 feet apart from each other.
You want everyone to be equally
poor? you mean personal body space.
Right. Yeah, she's one of those girls who's going
to
get
There's
one of those
boxes. There's actually merits to that.
Honestly,
I'm going to stand with my arms out and not touch
a
single
hugger?
Freaking person. No, not at all.
She wants body space.
Like, I'll take a moment to give Sam a hug.
Has anybody here hugged me?
I have.
Oh, yeah, you have. Has anybody else?
I forced myself on her. I hugged her.
I almost cried.
You'll accept this hug.
You hug raped her?
He was like, you will hug me. And I was like, I can't.
And then we ate Jell-O together.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, that's racist.
Jell-O.
Whoa, boy. Did you feel woozy after?
Actually, it was pudding.
Pudding. Dick in your way.
Pudding pops.
Oh, man.
Anyway. On that note,
the Democrat debate, what are you going to say? Lincoln Chafee, old, white, rich, historical family, boring.
Right.
Jim Webb.
How about Jim Webb,
He's the old Democratic Party, but he's got skeletons in his closet you wouldn't believe, so he has to get out. And he's never going to, he's too far behind.
Did he not sound halfway rational, though, when they were asking him questions?
Who, right.
Jim Webb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just like, God damn it, I'm a war hero.
I killed them.
Yeah.
I know.
But he has the masculine appeal, and he's the war background, and a history of bipartisanship.
Like, I know.
You know, but that's not that would have been John Edwards. The Democratic Party would have picked that and John Edwards instead of, you know,
I'm
Obama.
Just playing devil's advocate over here. Come on.
No. That shows the parties are polarized because Bernie got in to make Hillary tack left. The Republicans don't have that problem. It's to the point where if you're not predicting the weather from Scripture, then you're not getting the Republican nomination.
I mean, I don't know what they're predicting. The right, I honestly don't.
What are their
What does the right want, in your opinion?
They don't want. There's too many split
theological fascists.
I know. That's what I'm saying. There's too many
that's
people.
What they want.
Yeah.
There's honestly,
what do you think?
Until Jesus comes
what do you
back.
Think?
1950s America.
Yes.
I mean, as far as what Republicans want,
what would get a Republican elected? Because I cannot see a Republican getting elected without
I think if you look at the Speaker of the House race, they've totally lost sight
Matt
of what
Ryan.
It means to be a Republican.
I know.
Not Matt Ryan. He got traded.
Yeah. Shit. Atlanta Falcons.
We're talking about
I'm
Paul
on
Ryan.
Fantasy football. I apologize. He's on my fantasy team.
Look at you sportballing again.
I know.
You sportball.
Keep your balls
homo.
In your pants and
you know
finish this Ryan political.
So let's wrap up.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up. Yes. Dear leader's tired. Okay, so here's what we do. At the end of the show, we go around. Anything you'd like to say, anything you'd like to self-promote, maybe your Periscope is hot, it's on fire, you want to get all the people
it's
watching.
It's burning.
It
burned a hole in this half of the table.
So
this
is
digressed
this
way
is your
too far.
Soapbox where you get to say whatever you like. Greg will go first.
Can I go last? I want to look something up, so if that's all right.
Aaron, anything that you'd like to say, promote, tell the people.
I love
what's on your
my
mind.
Kids.
You guys put me on the spot. Yeah, I'd like to first say that I love my kids and my wife, and that everything that Spangle said was libelous and false at the beginning of this podcast. Anyways, I don't have anything else intelligent to say. I just wanted to.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do, but I'm going to pass it off to Tyler because he's more entertaining, less intelligent, but way more entertaining.
Oh, less intelligent. Listen, I've got 2 bachelor's degrees. All of them pan and pussy, but okay.
All right. Well, then.
That's going to
just
get
kidding.
Edited out.
No, it's
go
not.
Ahead.
No, nobody uses it. Your soapbox, hey, say what you'd like
soapbox,
to say.
Soapbox, I don't need to say anything. I think my words speak for themselves, and I'm just up here trying to figure out, make way for whatever the hell is going on in the world, and I don't agree with any of it, honestly. I'm not voting for Ron Paul, Rand Paul, fucking Donald Trump, Carly Fiorina.
Tyler becomes your drunk uncle by the end of one of these podcasts.
Hey, listen, God, he is now the drunkle.
Let me tell you about these freaking
no
Mexicans.
How many
need to build a wall?
He is now drunkle.
This podcast is digressed. All
right, God so, damn it, Spangle.
By the end of a Tyler
Mexicans
podcast,
have been,
he's like,
they've been climbing up your freaking patio wall.
You know what? God damn it. I just right. want to tell these
I'm joking.
People don't even understand.
Listen, I'm passionate, people.
Ay, Dios mio.
I'm passionate about shit Dios that can't
mio.
Change.
And I apologize for that. Mio.
Hi, puppy.
All right. Your turn.
Oh.
Meow.
So, ew. So, I just want to say that think about what the hell you're voting for. Do not vote for the loudest voice, but actually vote for somebody that you understand and feel like you connect to on the issues.
I'm voting for that.
That's really it.
All right.
Hell yeah.
I do have something intelligent to say.
Go for it.
Welcome to the party.
Wow,
Tyler.
For the first time in 27 years.
I always say vote for your heart because if you waste your vote on someone you don't want, that.
There's no such thing as wasting a vote.
There is no such thing.
No.
You can waste a vote on
there's
someone you don't
like. There's a
wasted
vote when you don't know what you're voting for.
Yeah, I mean, you could vote for a candidate that has no
not
chance of winning, but it's not a wasted vote because you voted your heart and you can go to bed at night and lay
I voted
down.
For double quilted toilet paper last time.
Well, maybe you should have just picked up a pack of Charmin.
If you vote for the lesser of two evils, you'll always have
evil.
So why?
Don't vote.
Why even go?
Don't vote. That's what I'm saying.
All right, Greg.
Yeah, probably the most important news announcement that got missed by probably a lot of people was that the Fed decided to keep the interest rates unchanged.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to perpetually be like that. That is extremely dangerous. Right now, we're crowding out private investment. We have made no difference. Monetary policy as a tool for spurring on employment growth has failed. And what we're going to do is create the next bubble by propping things up right now, unless you have someone with the guts and political courage in order to pull out all the excess money and the supply. And right now, it looks really, really bad.
Grim.
That you have a Republican-controlled House, you have Janet Yellen, you know, the governor of the Federal Reserve. She believes that if we just keep printing money, then people go back to work. That hasn't worked.
Right.
Labor participation rates continues to go down, and Republicans sure as hell aren't Keynesian and going to go say, "Let's rebuild the roads, pass a big infrastructure program." So you're looking at economic stagnation because of politics and because of disproven philosophies. And if there's ever the thought that government can fix things, that government can, all these really smart people work in government, they're all working towards the same ideals and to help people's lives. What ends up happening is, yes, I think people are attracted to it for that reason. They get there and they have something to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it becomes about toeing the line. And then you get corruption. And then you get a $750,000 job offer to work at Patton Boggs as a lobbyist.
Right.
And you do all these things that perversely incentivize corruption. And yet, no, at the Democratic debate or at the Republican debate or the Democratic debate, no one talked about everyone just the assumption is government works.
Right.
Not once was it ever brought up.
Thank you.
Maybe the ideal government works, but I've met the director of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. He's kind of a moron.
Right.
You know, or like FEMA, like
Brownie,
hell of a job,
Brownie.
This guy's greatest accomplishment to that point was like I was going to say jacking off horses, but that was basically it. And, you know, as an Arabian,
stroking off horses.
So these are the best and the brightest that go on to lead these organizations that can destroy the lives of everyone they touch.
Right.
And yet, when a prophet comes along and spouts off about, oh, it's just about how I feel and my ideals, and this is what we can accomplish together, that works on voting day, and it dies 3 weeks later when appointments come out.
Right.
And so, you know, don't be the person that puts down liberals. Don't be the person that berates them. Be the person that helps them come around to the point, well, shit, that didn't really work, but surely more of the same isn't going to work either.
Yeah.
And maybe help them come around to the point that if we just can get government out of people's lives, we can actually make a difference.
Yep.
Might I interject here?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That maybe we could find middle ground. And that, you know...
If you want to do it... No, here. Here's your local ground. If you
I'm
do it,
sorry. I'm trying to speak logic and politics. No, you're
fine. Paul, you know, I'm saying about that today.
The logic is this, or the middle ground is, I think you should have every right at the community level to build any kind of program, social program, community program you want.
As long as the community pays for it.
There is no reason...
No one outside that does.
Because there's no one smart enough or qualified enough to be the head of Medicare, Health and Human Services, that's never been to Plainfield, Indiana, that's never been to Topeka, Kansas, that says, this is what works, do it. And so, unless you flip the model...
It's got to be localized.
Yeah, decentralized completely.
Yeah, decentralized.
And that's that's at the core of self-governance.
Yeah, I mean, you can't actually make one law that will work amongst all 50 states, because, well, because every single community is different.
Exactly.
And that's what we're founded on. You let... 50 lap.
Welcome to making my liberal self a libertarian. Yeah.
Welcome to libertarianism.
You're not liberal. You just don't think one step farther.
Does anyone believe Paul Ryan when he said he was going to restore rationale?
Restore the fourth?
Logic to.
How about CISPA?
Did he speak out of his ass?
He's been elected since he's 28, so I guarantee he's got secrets on a bunch of people that he's going to be able to buy votes.
Yeah, he blows. I think he'll be able to.
That's what you want. You want Frank Underwood.
Dear leader. Dear leader, what's your final input on this?
My final input this show is that this has been a fun show. This has been a nice show. This has been a periscoped show.
Hopefully it's been a digression of a show.
We've seen several people here descend into drunken stupors.
No, hopefully we get jokes and we get reality in the same is that possible? Is it possible?
I love drunk Tyler.
I'm not Tyler. Shut
God
up.
Damn it. Give me another beer.
They're all gone. All right. Thank you for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians.
Last time I come back.
Here we go. That's it. Daddy likes that. All right. Thank you for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. My other host joining me is Greg Lenz. And periscoping, thank you, Aaron Ewart. You can see
so
him.
Brave.
So brave.
Bravely periscoping all night.
All right, thank you for joining us. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Hey, this is Chris.
This is Greg.
We're here joined by our very first advertiser. We have Jason Stapleton.
The Jason Stapleton.
He is a true professional. If you go to jasonstapleton.com and you look at his podcast, it's amazing. Jason, it's a pleasure to have you as a sponsor of the podcast. We encourage all of our listeners to go and listen to your show. Tell us a little bit about what you do over at jasonstapleton.com.
Well, thank you very much for having me, because I paid you.
Yeah.
No, we would have had you on anyway. Yeah. I've been wanting to do this for
Chris
a while.
Chris and I have been talking for a long time. So, I've been a very big fan of your show for a long time, too. And I was telling Chris before the show started, you know, what I really like about your show is I feel like I'm sitting in the living room with you guys, and I feel like it is just a filterless conversation about what's happening in the world from a libertarian perspective, and I think we need more of that, and I just really like your perspective and what you guys bring to the table. So it's a good show.
Do we have to pay you now? Is that how this works?
No, that's you get that one for free.
All right, thanks, buddy. Jason, tell us about the show. What do you do? You broadcast every single day. That must be grueling.
So I do the show 5 days a week, and what we try and do is we try and take what's happening in the news every day and approach it from a libertarian angle. And I try and show how using a libertarian mentality or libertarian approach to the problem will create more wealth, more prosperity, more opportunity for more people than any other possible, structure. And so that's what we try and do every day. And I have a very condensed timeline because I own a couple of other businesses. This is a side business that I'm trying to turn into a primary business. And that's a slow process. But we've been at it for almost a year now. And it's growing. So I'm very happy with the progress, and people who are coming are saying great things about it. And if any of your listeners want to head on over there and check it out, you can download it on iTunes. You can go to YouTube and catch the video version. You can watch it live streaming from our studio if you go to jasonstapleton.com. However you want to do it, it doesn't matter.
I'll tell you what, you have the most impressive video. It is so beautiful. And I professionally, I do video and audio broadcasting and video encoding, and you have the prettiest studio, the prettiest stream. I love the look of your show. It's beautiful.
Thank you very much. A lot of people say that it was a very expensive process, but one I wanted to do. I have a belief that a message, you create a lot more message visually when people can see you. And I built several other businesses using video. And I wanted to do the same thing with this podcast, but far more people listen to the audio version than go and watch the video version. But just getting another media form out there and having the space. One of the things I want to do with the studio is have people come in and sit down and do sit down interviews with folks. We've been discussing with at least one of the potential libertarian candidates about having a debate at the studio.
Ooh.
And bringing both of them in to do a head-to-head debate. So a lot of that stuff is stuff we want to use that studio for. But yeah, it's been a work in progress for about a year now.
Well, it is beautiful, and he is being humble, asking you to politely go download the Jason Stapleton Show in iTunes. I, as dear leader, am commanding you.
A fatwa.
This is a commandment from the We Are Libertarians crew to go and download the Jason Stapleton Show. Go to jasonstapleton.com. View the video. There's a lot of different ways to engage with Jason. I think you will, if you're a fan of this show, you will definitely like his show. And, you know, Jason, thank you for joining us here on We Are Libertarians.